B-Pod Studios.
Give me that funk. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where haters the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5. The Fanatic 201 as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens in for Mike Missanelli this afternoon, 2-6 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Merry Christmas. Happy the holidays. Welcome to you all. We have you covered. You're in good hands, we think, today. So as you run around trying to get those last minute gifts, what stores normally close around 6 o'clock? So you're with us while you're in the car. Make sure you tune in. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on out there. Alert your fellow Philadelphians and let them know what's going on out there as you try to get that last sweatshirt, gift card, whatever it may be. Be safe out there. And again, happy holidays to everyone. Once again, Devon Givens with you until 6. Tyler Zuli producing in for Tyrone Johnson. And we have plenty to get into. As always on Fridays, since it's normally a football Friday, Christmas tomorrow, we're in on Thursday today. Brian Westbrook will join the show from 4 to 5, to give his normal weekly visit to talk about the Birds. We'll get into some Sixers with him as well. Big time Sixers fan. And he and Tyrone have this running thing about him wanting to be part of the Sixers front office. I can attest to that. We've had our own little side conversations about it. So that'll be fun to check in with, B. West at 4 o'clock. In that hour, we will also have a special guest from NBC Sports Philadelphia, our very own Barrett Brooks, who joins us every Thursday during our normal program, 6 to 10 at night on Thursdays. Barrett normally joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Today, he will join us at 4:10 to jump in with Brian, myself, Tyler, and we'll go through a lot of things with the Philadelphia Eagles because they do have a football game upcoming this weekend. A lot of chatter early about the Birds the last few days, the Philadelphia 76ers, as they tipped off their regular season last night. So plenty to get into with those guys. We will also have, if you're not familiar with my show on Thursdays, Barrett as a guest, but we also do family game night on Thursday nights, because during the pandemic, a lot of phone calls that we would get into a lot of discussion with folks about what they were doing with their families. You haven't seen your family as much as you are normally doing during a regular time. But since the pandemic has really hit everyone, a lot of time has been spent with family. And as you know, I always say we are family. So we have family game night on Thursday nights. It is Thursday, so we'll have family game day, because we do know that a lot of people will still have some family time, some game time, as you get ready for tomorrow with your folks. So we will do that as well. Tyler Zuli always lets us know what that is in the moment. So I have no idea what we're doing. And we will dive into all of that as we go along during the show once we start taking our phone calls about the Birds and the Sixers as well, because we'll get into that. Some leftovers that I have from last night in their 113-107 victory over the Washington Wizards. So let's have some fun today. Everyone, again, be safe out there. You're listening. Check in with us. We're going to have a blast today filling in for Mike, Tyrone, and Natalie here from 2 to 6. But as Rob was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and the quarterback controversy that's going on, and that's been going on since we saw what happened in April with the 2020 draft, with Jalen Hurts being selected by the Birds. Very controversial pick in the second round at pick number 53. We all know. Now we fast forward to December 24th. We're getting ready for his third start, and now against the Dallas Cowboys, 2 games remaining. Should be an interesting game on Sunday because the Birds still do have an opportunity to make it in. So all the great things that Rob was pointing out, But we wanted to look at it in a different angle. As we talk about the game, we always take your predictions on the final day that we have a chance to speak to you, getting ready for the game itself. We'll take your predictions. We'll ask you how they win this game. What needs to happen in order to get it done? And will they actually knock off these two teams, Washington and Dallas, Dallas and Washington respectively, in that order, in order for them to make the playoffs and win a division? We will find out. But one thing that we don't know, as Rob was alluding to during the entire show, we don't have any answers as of yet with Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts, as good as Jalen Hurts has played so far. The only answer that we have with Hurts is that he looks good so far. Can that translate to a 16-game season? We don't know. Can he play in the postseason? We don't know. We don't know if Carson Wentz is going to be here. That, of course, is a definite. Right now, lock it in. We have no clue. Right? We don't know that. So we have no answers still to the quarterback position. But with the season where it is right now, and as we get ready for the weekend and this game on Sunday, 4:25, it was flexed from a 1 o'clock kickoff to a 4:25 kickoff, the game of the week, if you will, at 4:25. We wanted to know from you all, Eagle fans, as we get into the Sixers as well a little bit. Right now, what answers do you already have about the Philadelphia Eagles? Because there are a lot of unknowns with this team, whether it be from the offensive line and what direction they are going in. The linebacker group that they currently are putting out there, are they going to be back next season? And are they going to look at a situation where you see Alex Singleton, TJ Edwards, and to some extent, right, Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley with the depth overall and their special teams addition as well with those two players, that they don't need to do anything specifically in the draft or free agency big to go acquire a big-time linebacker. For an example, as Tyler Zuli is here, a Penn State alum and someone who has been talking about Michael Parsons for many years, right? Is that going to be a guy? We go back to Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen in the 2020 draft. We go back to that, and we keep going any further of other guys that like Gaither and all of these names that we speak about with the linebacker position that you wanted them to identify. So right there, no answers, because we know that Howie Roseman does not like to take linebackers early. He does not value it enough to go grab a stud linebacker to be a part of the Eagles defense with Jim Schwartz. Well, Jim Schwartz, we don't know that either. We have a lot of questions to this football team, even with where they are right now as they get ready for these final two games to make it into the playoffs. And I'll say this, if you haven't heard at night, and I don't even remember if we said this the last time I filled in for Mike on this show, that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Yes, they have a boost of energy from the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts has looked fantastic. That jolt of energy has been obvious. It's been really evident with what he has been able to do. But they need too much help. They need too much help. Will that happen? I don't know. Again, answers that we do not currently have about the Philadelphia Eagles. The secondary, as good as Darius Slay is, you still have questions with your cornerback position, your safety position as well. You don't know if you are going to be able to go out there and spend any money to bring someone in. You don't know if Avante Maddox is eventually going to be a starter outside long term. You don't know what's happening at the safety spot because Rodney McLeod, who I believe has a 2-year contract, tore his ACL. More questions there. Kayvon Wallace, Marcus Epps, etc. Who are these guys specifically as players going forward for this Philadelphia Eagle team? Then you go to the even bigger questions of the front office. Well, reports have come out already that it looks like Paul Domowicz is speaking to Joe Banner, I believe it was, stating that he doesn't believe that that Howie Roseman is going anywhere. So while he has been on the chopping block for many of us, myself included, for all of his poor decisions with the NFL draft and putting together this roster, while we like certain things about this roster, Javon Hargrave coming on, Darius Slay, obviously, the pick that Jalen Hurts, a lot of people did like Jalen Hurts as that pick in the second round. Not me. Not that I didn't like the player, didn't like him in the spot. He has done more negative things than positive for this roster. And for many of us, we believe he should be on the block potentially, right, as moving on from this team, because he has not put this team together the right way. Well, based on those reports, it looks like he's going to be back, right? Doesn't mean he won't be back in a different capacity where he is not making the final decisions. So right there, we don't know if he is again going to be making the final call on personnel decisions in the draft and free agency. Then it gets to the head coach. We don't know if he is going to be back either. And if he is back, do we know if up top pushes it a little bit more where he is now going to have to give up the play calling? So this group, this franchise, this football team, this organization, they have more questions, I believe, than answers. I do have some answers that we can get into in the next segment of what I believe this Philadelphia Eagles team does have as we look at the question and answer of this football team. You go into the holiday season, right? You're out there shopping. You're trying to scramble to get into these stores. Question, am I going to be able to get what I want last minute for my loved one because I'm rushing to get it? You won't have that answer until you get there. And look, we don't, you know, sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. And, you know, how it's going to be. Are you going to be, you hope you're going to be satisfied with everything that comes into play tomorrow with your holiday and the gift giving and all. But right now, let's start this off. Sixers included. What answers do you already have about this football team as it stands right now? 610-632-0975. We will again take your phone calls on what this Birds team is going to do on Sunday, 425 kickoff against the Dallas Cowboys. How do they get it done? What needs to happen? Will Jalen Hurts again lead them to a victory, a much needed one? And they need some help. But will they do their part on Sunday? How do they get it done? 610-632-0975. Sixers win 113-107 last night over the Washington Wizards. They got away with one. They almost dropped it to the Wizards, but they prevailed, something that we didn't see a lot from last season. And they look pretty good in certain spots, most notably Shake Milton, Joel Embiid. We'll get into all of that as we go until 6. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens in for Mike Missanelli right here on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia on this holiday season.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Ah, look at that. Ah, one day away. Christmas Eve here. Welcome back to the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5, The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm Devon Givens in for Mike Tyler Zuli in for Tyrone Johnson. And the 2 o'clock hour is brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester today. Again, HVAC Lyon Conklin. So check it out. Our question to start things off for the Birds: what answers do we have at this point with 2 games remaining of the Eagles season? 610-632-0975, because we have more answers than questions with everything being highlighted with the quarterback position. We don't know there, but guess what? We don't know in a lot of different places either with this franchise's organization's roster overall. So we want to talk about that. And the 76ers picking up their first victory of the season, 113-107 in their season opener at the center, dropping the Wizards 113-107, led by Joel Embiid's point total of 29, 14 boards, and most impressively, 34 minutes and 50 seconds of play last night out of a total of 48, of course, an available 48, and that led the team. That's a new wrinkle for the 76ers. That's a new wrinkle for Joel Embiid. And I pointed out last night when we went in the post after the game that I liked what Doc Rivers did. You could see Joel Embiid was a little fatigued in the fourth quarter, but instead of taking him out, he decided that I'm going to call a timeout. let him catch his breath, get things together, and put him back out there. Because you needed to ride him, your best player, ride your horse, get that W at the end when they needed you most. And in the fourth quarter, he dropped 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting, 5 of 5 from the free throw line in 11 minutes and 25 seconds last night in the win. Again, 113-107 for the Philadelphia 76ers. He did have one block shot, 2 assists in the game as well. Shake Milton, phenomenal, 19 points in 29 minutes and 44 seconds, 6 of 8 from the floor, 5 of 7 from the stripe, charity stripe, 2 of 4 from deep in the 29 minutes and 44 seconds. And Shake Milton played the entire 12 minutes for the Philadelphia Sixers last night. So 610-632-0975, your leftovers from the game last night. What stood out? Good and bad. We had some questions from last night as well. We had some answers. Had some answers. I think Shake Milton, that answer is already there, that he is your sixth man, and he is one that you can count on to be both a point guard and a shooting guard. So we combine that. We know it's a combo guard. He scored early, did not score much in the fourth quarter, but late in the game, the 12 minutes that he played in the fourth quarter, Shake Milton handled the ball. He was basically your floor general, your distributor, the guy setting up your offense in the fourth quarter for the 76ers. So Eagles and Sixers to start this off. Brian Westbrook, 4 o'clock hour. Barrett Brooks, 4:10 from NBC Sports Philadelphia as well. 610-632-0975. But we got to bring in Tyler Zuli and say good afternoon to my man here. We'll get the Twitter poll question, and we do have to start off our family game day. It's the holiday season. Tyler, good afternoon.
Devon, good afternoon to you as well. You know, like we are in for Mike and Tyrone in their respective seats today.
Yep.
I think it would be fair to say one of the things that Tyrone does throughout the week is word of the day, mm-hmm. right? So word of the day, when you talk about your question about the Eagles, might be, I don't know.
I don't know.
And that's really a really bad spot for a team to be in.
Yes, especially 3 years now removed from where they were, winning in 18, the 17th season, winning in February 2018, getting to the playoffs in 18 and 19, and where we are in 20, with so many questions now, more questions, I believe, than answers. And we will give our answers that we have, but we want to get yours as well. But what do we have so far for our Twitter poll? The Twitter poll brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Winter is here, and Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snowblowers, chainsaws, and generators all season long. Stop by their Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com. What do we have today?
Yeah, so the question today is, which Eagles questioned do you have the most definitive answer for heading into 2021? So here are your options. The quarterback situation, the head coach, the general manager, or the defensive coordinator.
Ooh. All right. Check us out. 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. If I were to answer that one right now, I would go with the general manager because of the loyalty from the ownership with Jeffrey Lurie and where he is with Howie Roseman, the demotion a few years back with Chip Kelly. The loyalty is there. I don't think he's going to move on from him, and I'm disappointed in that. Now, I hope that if he does not move on from him, that he brings someone else in. I don't know what Andy Weidel does. What we thought we knew was Joe Douglas helped out quite a bit now with the Jets, with the front office decisions. Howie Roseman gets the brunt of that, of the ones that have not worked out. So with that, I would say that Howie Roseman is the safest, and that's the answer that we have so far with that one, the four options that we have right there on the Twitter poll.
I think you're right, and Devon, the problem is you're right for all of the wrong reasons.
Wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's not a merit-based. It's not a merit-based thing. It's not a results-based thing, which are like the two things that are in the NFL should be the most important things in dictating if a head coach comes back, if a quarterback stays the quarterback, if a general manager comes back. All of these things have to be brought down from the top. And you're right, the loyalty to Howie Roseman from this organization, I think, is misdirected at best. And they're not judging his results.
No.
They're judging him on being him.
Yeah, and the one that's most likely to probably go, if that's the case, would be Doug Peterson, based on what? The results.
Yes.
Not of what he's done in the past, like Howie, the results of right now and why this thing is not working with your franchise quarterback, ignoring the fact that your general manager did not give him the necessary weapons and even on the defensive side, building this roster properly to win going forward. 610-632-0975. Family game day as well, Ty. Let's take our first phone call. And as we get to that phone call, like we always do on Thursday nights, let's then bring in our family game night and see what we're doing this afternoon. Let's start things off with our Eagles Point with Mark. We'll get to Dustin next. Mark and Camden tipping things off this afternoon on the Mike Missinelli Show. What's up, Mark? Happy holidays.
How you doing, fellas? You know my town, basketball is religion, and you know how it goes. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
First of all, the thing that you said is absolutely correct. Howie is going to stay, and everybody else is going to get fired except the quarterback. And the scary thing about that is, that whoever they hire is going to affect our quarterback, because that person they might hire might not know how to run the re-option, and it seems like the re-option is good for our offense.
Yeah, it is, but it's so common now around the league, Mark, that I believe that they will be able to execute that going forward, and especially with, let's assume that Jalen Hurts wins the job. Let's just go with that for right now. Let's say that he wins the job. He can do that in his sleep. The read option. So doing what's best for your quarterback, and when you have a running back like Miles Sanders, if you implement him the right way within your offensive flow as well, then you're obviously going to keep that as part of the game plan each week with the read option. It may not be there a lot, but it will be there, in my opinion, as far as the package.
Yeah, goes. But Devon, you're missing a major
what's
point,
that?
Man. I think that Kelce is going to retire, and I think that's going to really hurt our offensive line. Everybody's forgetting that he almost retired this year.
Well, he's almost retired the last 3 years since the Super
right.
Bowl, so we'll
like
see.
You got to hope that guy come back, because who's the next center to come in? I don't even know who it is.
Nah, we don't know. We don't know. And we don't know any of the people that are currently on the roster can go ahead and flip from either the guard position, swing it over to the middle, and be that guy that you're talking about. Maybe they draft someone. We'll see. But you're right. You're right. That is a question that we have to pay attention to with guys getting older, both him, Brandon Brooks coming back from the Achilles, Lane Johnson and his injuries. Now at left tackle, what are you going to do? Dillard or Jordan Mailata? And we know Seumalo is locked at the left guard spot, unless they move Seumalo, who has been said to be a future center potentially, but he's done decently enough at the guard spot that maybe they keep him there. What's up?
Let me make a Sixers point.
Yeah.
My Sixers point is this. I was all for the bandwagon to get the James Harden, Ben Simmons trade. After seeing the situation James Harden is going through, I don't want that. And I also seen Doc Rivers, how intelligent he is, how he made great adjustments. I've seen a major adjustment last night where Brett Brown would have never done.
Which was?
It was late in the quarter, and he substituted Thibault in for Curry.
Yes.
For defensive purposes.
All right, I give you that. I thought it was too late. He did it, but I thought it was too late because Bradley Beal was already rolling. Russell Westbrook was already doing what he was doing with the 15 assists and getting anywhere he wanted, basically, in the paint, on the floor, however he wanted to do it, he was doing it, and they were already rolling in the fourth quarter. I had said, with Shake staying in there, Mark, and Curry already out there because of his outside shooting, and you need it because Danny Green was struggling, Tobias Harris wasn't rolling, I would have taken Tobias Harris out and put that guy in, to your point, and rolled things a little bit differently. And if I had to keep Tobias in and you needed to keep a guard out there, I would have maybe taken Curry out, to your point, and play that offensive defensive substitution a little bit
right.
more. And I thought he took too long to do it, Mark.
But Curry made three crucial shots.
He did, but it doesn't mean the game wouldn't have flowed the same way with making the substitution when he needed to kind of slow Bradley Beal down. You can't stop him. He's an all-star level guard.
Yeah,
he's an all-NBA
true.
Player.
True.
You needed to slow him down, and they were turnstiles. But, you know, that's the thing. But you're right. He did do it. He did make the substitution. I just thought it was too late. All right, Mark, before we let you go, you want to start us off with Family Game Day, man, here on the show.
Sure.
Let's do it. Tyler, what we have?
All right, Devon. So we figured it is the holiday season. We're going to do two different types of holiday-style games.
Rotating them?
Yeah, so it'll be back and forth between the two. So here are the two categories we have. One is it's simple. We've done this kind of before.
All right.
We're going to play you a bit of a Christmas song, a holiday song.
I'm awful with
and you.
And you
have to name the song or the artist that sings it.
All right, let's
now,
do it.
Here's the thing. There's not a ton of Christmas songs, but There are a ton of different renditions.
All right.
So you can get a point either way. The other one is I'm going to give you the plot of a movie, a Christmas movie.
All right.
And you have to name the movie.
All right.
So, Mark, since you're the first one up, I'll give you the opportunity to decide. Do you want to start with the song or the name, the plot of the movie?
Give me the plot of the movie. That's the hardest.
All right. All right. So we're going to start with the plot of the movie. We'll start with this one. In which movie did a man pre-send his Christmas bonus, pre-spend his Christmas bonus on a swimming pool, only to find out that his boss did not give out bonuses that year?
That is Chevy Chase. What's the name of the movie? Christmas Vacation?
Oh, you gave him that?
He's right.
He didn't get the entire title.
It's Christmas Vacation.
All right.
Oh, what do you need? The National Lampoon's
Christmas
Devon,
Vacation.
Don't be like that.
It's Christmas Vacation.
Mark,
he's right.
You're right. It's Christmas. I'll let it go. You're my brother. I love you. Family, happy holidays. You got it, man. All right, Mark. We'll talk to you, man.
All right. Thank you.
You got it, man. Yeah, man. Are we doing it that way?
Yeah, so...
All right, it's cool. It's the holidays. You're
right.
Yeah,
so what we'll do...
We'll let it roll.
We'll get the callers.
It's cool.
Callers get the opportunity first.
Right.
If they can't get it, you get a chance to take the point.
All right, you got it, man. Good stuff. 610-632.
Family game night where I give you a total disadvantage.
You're right. Family game night. It is the holiday. Family game day, so we'll roll with that. It's all good. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Dustin next in the Northeast here on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Dustin, what's happening, man?
Yo, my man Devon, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Happy holidays to you and the family.
Happy holidays to you and the girls, too. Make sure you tell everybody we
thank you.
Said happy holidays and have a good new year, and hopefully 2020 is a little bit better for us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. What you got on the game last night, man?
Well, you know I got to talk Sixers with you, but I just got to bring up a quick Eagles point that it bothers me because I don't think anybody really talks about it. I don't know if anybody sees the same point of view I'm looking at, but I think that Carson Wentz, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was, remember that rat that we had in the locker room last year, 2 years ago, that was saying people didn't get along with him and this and that.
Yeah, at the end of the 2018 season, so that was February 2019 when the story came out, yeah.
So I think what we're seeing with Jalen Hurts, at least what I'm seeing, is the rest of the team believes in him like they did with Nick Foles, and they're playing around him a lot better. For whatever reason, when Carson's out there, I feel like the team just doesn't play at the same level. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people felt like Nick Foles should have remained the quarterback. The story started to come out. A lot of speculation that it was Alshon Jeffrey as one of them because he wasn't getting the football. A lot of the attention being directed towards Zach Ertz, Dustin. And then you started to hear that report that came out in that long story where they pointed out that maybe there were those questions there where he wasn't necessarily vibing with his teammates. The locker room was starting to shift the other way with Foles because he was more personable, and he adjusted to the coaches more so than anything, where Carson Wentz was more of a know-it-all.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it. Now I got to get back to
the... All right, let's get to the hoop.
No, I love talking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, last night, I think we saw a Sixers team that it's going to be tough to come out of the East because I really think the Brooklyn Nets are super good.
They're strong.
They are a bad team out there in all aspects. Their bench is good. Their coaching's good. Everything just seemed to gel with them yesterday.
Yeah, they're strong. Kevin Durant being Kevin Durant, he looks like the old Kevin Durant, Dustin, and I love it. You know that's my guy, and he looks phenomenal. Kyrie Irving, as long as he's good and able to play both health-wise and committed to the team, we know who he is. He's a top 20 player, arguably a top 15 player in this league. So they're going to be a problem. So I agree with you. And with Mike D'Antoni on the staff, helping out Steve Nash as basically that associate head coach, they're going to be a problem.
And the scary part about that team is and I did not think we were going to see it out of Kyrie and KD. I thought it was going to be a two-man show. They're playing very unselfish, too.
Oh, it is?
They want... ahead.
No, they have so many weapons, you can't ignore Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris. They re-signed to a big contract, so he's going to be there long-term. Caris LeVert coming off the bench. They have a lot of talent. They went out and acquired Landry Shamet, a former Sixer and Clipper now, to be one of their outside shooters off the bench. So they have basically checked off all the boards, all the boxes that they needed to, and Jared Allen is behind DeAndre Jordan, which I still think is ridiculous. It's a mistake, but now you have that depth at the center position as well. They have everything at their disposal on that roster. I think they're going to be the top team in the East as well. Dust, man, as we wind down the phone call, I know you're going to play and participate. Family game day. Let's do it.
All right, Dustin, you're up. So it, so Mark took the movie plot, so you get to name the tune.
All right, let's give it a shot. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, man. I was hoping Dustin just dropped the ball in that one, because as you're playing it, I'm thinking of the one that the Roots did on, I think it was Jimmy Fallon. As far as part of the show, and my man James Poyser and company, they do it. They do a great rendition of that one, and I was hoping that he dropped the ball on that one. He did not.
Well, and the problem is I can't give them the whole song, because a lot of Christmas songs, you know, the chorus it says the title of the song, so 100%. It can only give you a small little bit.
100%. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you here until 6 o'clock. And for Mike Missanelli on the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyler Zuli. We're talking Birds and Sixers. More questions than answers, but what answers do you already have about the Philadelphia Eagles at this point, with so many questions surrounding the quarterback position? Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz, the unknown of the offseason. There are many things there as well with the rest of the roster from top to bottom. And we wanted to know, what answers do you currently have for this, for the Philadelphia Eagles? Right now, Sixers win 113-107. So I wanted to know what leftovers you have from the game last night. What stood out to you in the game? I still have plenty to left on the bone to get off of my chest about the game last night. We will do so. Let's do so next with Fran in Delaware here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Fran.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on your program. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Some leftovers. I want to get right to it. Doc Rivers was such a pleasant, pleasant sight for sore eyes. Brett Brown, over the time that he was here in Philadelphia, I think his stay was long overdue, and it was just so nice during crunch time to see Doc Rivers get the most out of his players. You made an excellent point about the fact that he called a timeout. What a novel idea. Call a timeout and let Embiid rest and bring him back during crunch time. The only issue I had, and I think you brought it up, is Tobias Harris. I'm sorry, but I'm struggling with Tobias in the game during crunch time. He just doesn't, in my personal opinion, doesn't have that Philly tenacious heart. Ben looked awesome, and so did Embiid down the stretch. And, you know, obviously, Doc, what a pleasant surprise to have Doc Rivers on the bench. And my only thing about the Eagles on leftovers is this, and I think Wentz is going to move on and see Frank Reich at the Indianapolis Ursays after Old Man Rivers leaves. Mm-hmm. Old Man Rivers is on a one-year deal.
Yep.
And I do believe Frank Reich will pull the trigger to get Carson Wentz into Indianapolis to play for the Ursays. And I want to get your opinion about that, because I think if the GM, Rosen, pulls off that deal, then that gives him a little bit more wiggle room, because he's a Super Bowl GM, and the same with the head coach. You know, you're going to have to give him a little bit more time as a Super Bowl winning head coach. And I think with Hurts, you got a nice gift. He can play. He's a heck of an athlete, and the RPO is there. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I can tell you this right now, between Lamar and Tyler Huntley,
mm-hmm.
those two are RPO gems. Greg Roman knows how to run that, and Brett Urban knows how to run it. So Greg Roman might be on the block, possibly, if they don't make the playoffs and if they get bounced early in the playoffs and they're going to move Urban to the offensive coordinator position.
Okay.
Greg Roman can come right in right away.
All right. Well, listen, I want to answer both of your questions, but since we're pressed for time a little bit and we'll get everybody in here, let's play Family Game Day with you, Fran. Let's go to Tyler here next.
All right, Fran. Caller's up 2-0 right now, so you got a chance to take a big-time lead on Devon early here. You're going to get the name the plot of the movie, Christmas movie. You got to name the movie that it is. Here's your question. In what movie did a dad compete with other shoppers for the season's hottest toy?
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Season's hottest toy. I want to say, is that Arnold Schwarzenegger at all? No? Is that Arnold?
I can't tell you that.
I want to say Arnold Schwarzenegger, hottest toy. The plot, hottest toy. I'm going to just take a wild guess here. I'm going to say the Indianapolis Ursay owner because of that horrendous NFL Network
Fran, well, listen, man, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and enjoy, man. I'll answer your questions on the other side.
Devon, you got a chance at it.
I know the movie. It is with Arnold and Kevin Hartman. I forgot the title of the movie. And my brother's going to kill me because that was one that he always watched as well. My daughter's watched it also. I can't remember it. I cannot remember the name of the title.
You guys were both right.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is
and
in
Kevin
it.
Kevin Hartman.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's called Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way. Yeah, how about that? I look silly. 610-632-0975. They're going to destroy me because I missed that one. Knowing exactly who's in it, knowing the plot, all of it. JD, John, Kevin, Steve, two open phone lines for the first time since we got underway. 610-632-0975. I will address those questions on the other side that were just there. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens in for Mike Missanelli. 2-6, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, so I said Kevin Hartman, right? It was Phil Hartman who I was thinking of, and I'm already getting roasted here on...
Not Kevin Hart.
Not Kevin Hart. Yeah, and Alfie from Abington, who Mr. Fizz ESQ says this. He checks in all the time, and he says Phil Hartman, definitely not Kevin Hart. Alfie, I didn't say Kevin Hart. I said Hartman, and it was Phil Hartman. You're right. Dan as well. My bad. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens in for Mike Missanelli here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. So, yeah, I dropped the ball on that when I said I was going to get this one from the family, and now I'm getting it from the other family on Twitter. So, all right, I got it. So, thank you. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. NBC Sports Philadelphia's own, my brother, Barrett Brooks. He will check in with us at 4:10 to talk about the Birds and get their thoughts on the Sixers as well. Just to answer the question quickly before we get back to the phones, right before the break, about Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris last night in 31 minutes and 8 seconds. Tobias Harris, 10 points, 8 rebounds, and he was 3 of 13 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, and 4 three-point attempts, making none of them. Okay, so I tried last night in the post following the game not to be too critical because it's game one. These things happen. Can't ignore Danny Green's 1 of 16 in 18 minutes and 16 seconds. 0 of 4 from deep as well. But Tobias, what do you want me to say? I keep saying that, look, He can give you 19 points in his sleep. He can score at a lot of different levels. It just leaves you empty a lot of times with the 19. The impact that is that he brings to the game. So last night, minding my business on Twitter while we're doing the show, and the Suns and the Mavs were playing, and you know, for people who are just tuning in and don't know, right, Mikal Bridges is my younger cousin. So I'm watching.
You just happen to be watching that game, right?
I happen to be watching the game.
Just happened.
It just happened to be on national TV, and I'm watching it. So Kale is doing what he's doing. He's shutting down Luka Doncic. And if you know, remember, the trade for Zaire Smith and that pick that they got back, the 2021 future pick, went to L.A. for Tobias Harris. So on Twitter, Darian D. May on Twitter says last night, real question. This is him. This is him saying it, not me. Don't shoot me. You're talking about your cousin again. No, listen, it happens. He's from here. We're all from here. He's playing. It's what it is. DMay706 says, real question. Real question. Is Tobias better than Mikal Bridges? Because, right? So, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't like the move at the time. Didn't like it, even though I like Tobias from afar. The impact is different for what they do. You could use both of them, but one of them is not living up to what you need from him with the 19 points that he gives you. He's supposed to be your second scorer behind Embiid. That 19 needs to be impactful when others are struggling. Like we said during our show with D-Lineman and Bob Cooney the other day, when you need something from him, you need it to hit, and you need it to hit you in a big way that... All right, Embiid doesn't have it. They're double-teaming him. They're taking that option away. Tobias needs to... You need to remember the 7 points that he gave you on that 11-0 run that they had that forces Scott Brooks to call a timeout. And last night, he couldn't give it to you. And this had been a constant now. The 19 is there. And I bring up the New York Knicks game last year when both Simmons and Embiid were both out. Tobias needed to step up because of a porous performance that he had against the Magic the game before on the road when they lost that one. He gave you 30, but I still felt empty with that 30. Is it unfair? No. And I'm not even bringing the money into it. I'm bringing the fact in that he is a easy 19-point-per-game scorer. Again, I'm giving him his credit of he can do that in his sleep, but I need it to be impactful. It's not. And last night, 3 of 13... What else are you doing to help the team out? He did have 8 rebounds. I got it. Okay? He had 8 rebounds, and he will give you that when the rebounding issues are there for everyone else. Simmons had his 9. Dwight Howard off the bench was fantastic with his 10 in 13 minutes and 10 seconds. And Joel led the team in a game-high 14. He gave you the 8, but the 3 of 13 there, no, not good enough. Only 4 free throw attempts. Not good enough. You need to find a way to get some points on the board for your team when you are struggling to score in the third quarter when they were 15. They lose their quarter, minus 9, 24-15. I need Tobias Harris to step up. And it's very fair to do so. And yes, it's not a question, Darian D. May on Twitter. I know his value. Others know his value. Come on. Let's stop playing Tobias Harris in the third quarter. 10 minutes, 16 seconds. 0-for-3 from the floor, 0-of-1 from deep, no free throw attempts. That's what I'm talking about. And then we'll get the calls from D and others. Why are you coming down on him and you don't come down the same on Simmons? Well, Simmons does produce more often than not. Is he frustrating? Hell yeah. But he produces more often than not. He does other things. This drives me crazy with what Tobias Harris does. And I'm not apologizing for it. He needs to bring more. It's game one, so I'm going to calm down. It's the holiday season. It's all good. That's just my point of the whole thing. As far as the quarterback position and Jim Irsay and Carson Wentz going out there with Frank Wright, very possible. That's the one that's always connected. Those two will reunite in Indianapolis. Maybe the Eagles are looking at a spot where they'll take the hit for the year cap-wise. And they'll move on. Jalen Hurts will do what he does. Maybe he's special enough that even though you won't have enough money to go out there and allocate the money in a lot of different areas to bring in some other players, you hope that they draft well, bring in some people. Year two for Hightower and Rager and Quez Watkins, if they are on this team, that they are better. One of the answers that we have, I think Zach Ertz is going and Dallas Goedert is going to be your feature tight end. That's an answer. So you will still have stuff where you have enough on the offensive line to keep him upright and be good enough in order for them to win. If they move on, take the hit in the cap by moving on from Carson Wentz. That will be the question. 610-632-0975. Listen, JD, hang on. John, and we all love talking to JD all the time because we will go back and forth with a lot of different things, but it's family time. We'll get to that, and I'm sure we'll come together with the Sixers talk. Kevin, Steve, two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Eagles and Sixers on the table. In for Mike Missinelli, I'm Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You're a mean one.
Ah.
Mr. Grinch.
Is that directed at me because I went at Tobias Harris? My bad. Listen, gotta call it for what it is. The caller asked the question. I had to answer it. My job is to be honest. As we talk about this thing's broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens in for Mike Missinelli this afternoon on Christmas Eve. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope you're all safe. Those last minute treks you're making to the store. Be safe out there. Why are you waiting so long? Why are you waiting so late, though? But we'll get into that. If you're out there and you do call in to talk about the Birds or the Sixers, let us know why you're waiting so long and what it looks like as you try to make these last-minute stops to get your gift in on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, and for Tyrone Johnson and the 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at the Corporley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Hope you took advantage of that as you get ready for your small gatherings with just you in the home. Get yourself a tray or a tomato pie and make things very easy for yourself. Let's clean up overall. 610-632-0975. And we're about to get to JD in a second as we talk the Eagles and we talk the Philadelphia 76ers in their 113-107 NBA season debut last night as far as picking up the win. Jay on Twitter, another Jay, says, thanks so much for calling out Tobias. I thought it was just me. Wasn't he supposed to be that guy to get his own shots? Why does he play so timid offensively and defensively? He's got to go, bro. Again, thank you. And the emoji hand claps for that. Now, before I start with JD here, again, 610-632-0975. Last night, Doc Rivers did point out that he's not worried about him. He's not worried about him right now. He says that, look, he's struggling. He felt like he played, as Jay pointed out, a little timid. He had two free throws towards the end of the game that helped seal things. And I don't have my notes. I don't know exactly where they are. Yes, I do. I have them right here as I pull up the stat sheet and the play-by-play. In the fourth quarter, he knocked down these free throws towards the end where Tobias Harris made two free throws to make it 111-105 with 15 seconds to play. He was driving to the basket, or maybe it was earlier than that. Well, either way, he was going to the basket, and he was going up for the layup, and he got fouled. Okay, cool. No. Like Doc Rivers pointed out, turn that thing over and bang it. What do you take the contact? We've seen him do it before. This is why it's frustrating. Okay, let me calm down. It's Christmas Eve. Let me calm down. We've seen him do it before. His first time here. I remember one of the very first game that he played in a Sixers uniform. I want to say it was Orlando, because they would always play it on NBC Sports Philadelphia as one of the preview previews before the game, where he took the contact body to body with the defender. It might have been like Nick Vucevic or some. I don't remember. But he took the contact body to body, chest to chest, and he flushed it. And do it again. That's what Doc Rivers is talking about. You get something like that going, that might get you going. Your confidence is now, you know, you see the ball go through. You feel good. It's hype. We understand that the fans were not in the building last night. But still, turn that thing over. Bang it on that defender, Thomas Bryant, whoever it was. Take that contact and move on. And move on. He made the two free throws. Okay, cool. But Doc Rivers, not me, Doc Rivers pointed it out that he needed to be more aggressive in that spot last night. I also highlighted a play in the fourth quarter, had the ball on the left wing. He was about 20 feet away from the basket, and he had a defender there. Now, and if in fairness, there was someone right there coming towards him, a teammate and his defender coming with him on the left behind the three-point line. But instead of facing up, giving him that jab that he normally does, couple ball fakes, couple step-ins, and then do what he has to do, dip the shoulder, get in, take that contact, that point, and get the floater or whatever he does going and get to the free throw line, he passed it off. And I'm like, come on, man, tell your guy to get out. This is my basketball right here. Go to the weak side, get out of the way, clear out. This is mine. I got it. Because as I look at the defenders that they had yesterday in the game for the Washington Wizards, Isaac Bonga, Denny Abdila, who is a rookie, Troy Brown Jr., second-year player out of Oregon, who I like, Davis Bertans, none of them have any business after the game or going to the bench during a timeout saying, man, I just shut Tobias Harris down. Why? Because Tobias Harris is supposed to be an elite scorer. Not an elite scorer. A 19-point-per-game scorer. Someone who can do it and get it done. And he did. And I saw those things and I said I wasn't going to get mad because it was game one and it's the holiday season, so I'm not going to do it. But I just did it because the caller started it. It wasn't me first. But now you put the quarter in and I'm going. 610-632-0975.
I think you wanted to do that.
Yeah,
but you also said, hey, you know what? It's the holiday season.
And it's one game.
And I get it. And again, one of the things that you and I talk about a lot is multiple things can be true at once.
Drives me nuts.
You know, and multiple things can be true at once, meaning that, yes, it was one game, and yes, that there are 71 more to play. And at the same time, you can look at the flaws in Tobias Harris's game and go, that is not something that, and I know you said you don't want to bring the money into it, but I will. That is not something that
I'm bringing in his skill set.
Right.
For what they needed last night, scoring-wise, that called for him and he didn't do it.
I think you could bring both in because the skill set is something that is kind of a sliding scale a little bit. The money doesn't move. So you can have, like, let's say you have a rookie, right?
Right.
Jason Tatum is rookie year.
Okay.
The skill set moves and the benchmarks move as we see, okay, Jason Tatum's legit. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum can play. So that those benchmarks move as the season progresses. But what doesn't move and what doesn't progress based on performance is the paycheck that somebody is cashing every week.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pay a guy, like you and I discussed, what was it, Tuesday night, when you pay a guy, expectations are raised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the three people that have the highest expectations on this team, and rightfully so, are Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris.
Yep. Yep. And that goes to the Iguodala thing where people, he signed four years, $80 million contract years ago to re-sign here in Philadelphia and didn't work out. People, once you sign that contract, the expectations elevate, right? So there you go. 610-632-0975. I didn't start it. But I'm saying, let's go to JD in South Jersey here on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. JD, my man.
What's up, D?
What's
How
going
doing,
on?
Man?
I'm good, man.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too, man.
Had to get that off
my chest. My bad.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I may continue this Tobias talk. I mean, it's something that we can't not bring up his salary. That's the bottom line. I mean, it's opportunity cost. We have him making supposed to be really the third option, third star behind Ben and Joel. And to be honest, he's only really been slight focal point on mediocre teams until he got here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's disheartening to watch the Nets. It's disheartening to see us really going to be hamstrung by Tobias Harris. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Now, where I'm a little bit more optimistic than I am, say, the Eagles, which for me, I think a full-scale rebuild is in order. And I like Wentz. I just don't think he's going to make it out here. But unfortunately, we have the top executive with the Eagles, Howie, is, you know, going to hold on to his mistakes possibly and keep trying this Carson Wentz gamble because, you know, we paid him all the money.
Right.
But with the Sixers, we have Daryl Morey. Now, what can he do? What do you think he can do to possibly build around, you know, get off Tobias Harris, which would be God's work. Let's be honest. No one really wants a mediocre scorer.
Yeah, see, and that's
right?
Why when we were talking about the Al Horford contract versus Tobias Harris, his was easier to move Al Horford because shorter contract. And it's just way easier because it's movable. You can do a lot of different things where Tobias Harris is so big with that 180. Nobody really wants to stick it to it.
Now,
look, it's game one again, JD. He's back with his old coach where he had the most success with the Clippers, the 43% from 3-point line, the final year that they were together, the 20 plus points per game also. So I will give him time, but based off what we saw last night, where we last saw him in the bubble, you know, it had to be done just now.
He was mediocre again, though, in the bubble. I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
The ball for him.
With Simmons out, that was his basketball, and he didn't do it.
No, he didn't. And look, he mediocre teams that he was the focal point, he was able to get 20 points. Now he's the third option. He's not very good off the catch and shoot. He doesn't have that much range. You see all his three-pointers, his toes are on the line.
Yeah.
So, again, unfortunately, I see a more grim situation because we may have to get off Simmons to get Harden in here. And, again, we're just going to have still Tobias. You know, when Harden's out, for me, I think you put Tobias on the second unit and have him be the focal point against backups, and he could possibly fill up the stat sheet that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bring in Shake into the lineup and have three three-point shooters around Ben and Joel.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, but they're not going to give up on him so soon. As again, Doc Rivers said last night, he's not worried. All right, JD, you ready to play Family Game Day, man? Get involved in this
Let's
with
do
us.
It.
Let's do it, man.
It.
All right, JD, you guys are up 2-0 right now. You're going to get a name that tune. So
I missed Jingle All the Way last time, and I'm disappointed.
I can't believe you missed that one.
Disappointed.
JD, you're going to get a song. You got to tell me either the song itself or the artist of this particular rendition of that song.
I'll give it the college try.
That's roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by choir.
Oh, this is a no-brainer, right, guys?
Yeah. You're called the
Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra.
So you just want the name?
You can give me the name of that particular rendition. That wasn't Frank Sinatra, though.
Do you want the name of the song or the
either or? Yeah.
Oh, Nat King Cole.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, JD. But it's all right, because
hey,
I just stole the point.
But listen, situations right now.
I hear you, man. JD, Merry Christmas to you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes.
Really appreciate it. You got it, man.
It's a Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yes.
By Nat King Cole.
I had to go Nat King Cole.
Not Frank Sinatra, there.
No, not at all. Not at all. He has done some, but not that one. 610-632-0975. Bruce on Twitter says, Devon, I'm putting in another quarter. All right, you guys can put the quarter in. I'm going to back off a little bit, let you guys have it on Tobias.
You're going to have all the plays in the arcade.
I'm going to step away. Vanessa on Twitter also, she says she agrees about the Tobias talk and thinks that he gave up after three fouls last night. And she asked on Sixers Outsiders with Tyrone Johnson and Crystal Rich on NBC Sports Philadelphia, of course, right here. She said, I'm not mean. I love the Sixers, but Tobias got to step up. Merry Christmas, guys. Good show. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well, Vanessa. John in New Jersey, next on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Johnny.
Yes, it's Merry Christmas to all.
Same to you.
I can't find anywhere in my reading if they bring Wentz back and he says, I don't want to come back, can he then redo the contract so that they don't have to lose $34 million on
Not at all. It's all locked in. As Rob Motti pointed out during his show, no matter, even if he says, I don't want any money, the contract is what the contract is, and it hits your cap the way that it does, John, next season.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's really shocking that he can't say, let's redo the contract.
No, he can redo it. He can redo it, and that'll make it easier also to move that contract for him to go. But the Eagles are still on the hook for what they signed him for. The cap is already going to be affected by his number next season, no matter what.
But if he redoes it at a lower price, the cap hit will be less.
No. It's just easier potentially to move the deal to another team where they're now paying a lesser annual salary, for an example, Indianapolis, than the big number that he is currently at.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My observation on the Sixers last night, disappointed in their defense. It seemed to me that Washington shooters made their shots, and they weren't really contested.
Yeah, defensively, I thought the same thing, John. I felt, and that's where I thought, again, when I brought this up a little bit earlier with the adjustments that Doc Rivers made when the credit was given to him for making a call with Tobias Harris late in the fourth quarter for the defensive substitution, I thought it called for it a little bit earlier, John, and I felt that the game was playing out that way where he needed to be inserted a little bit earlier. He gave him credit, Doc Rivers, last night for being ready at the end of the game. Body language was right getting in there and in that mix so late after not having his number called until that point. And while you give him that credit, I felt like you did, John, defensively, specifically on the wings. You're not going to stop Westbrook. You're not going to stop Beal, but you have to make it harder for them. And there was no defender that they had out there that was going to do that outside of Ben Simmons. And you couldn't call on a rookie like Tyrese Maxey who has potential. You needed to, in my opinion, go with Matisse Thybulle, and he did not.
You know what magnified it more to me was that for the last couple of weeks, Doc has been saying that the defense is so far ahead of the offense that you just expected to see a little bit more, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, they did say it. And look, Dwight Howard was fantastic. Joel Embiid is his normal self. So was Ben Simmons. I was all in as well with what Ben. I predicted that my bold prediction for the season would be Ben Simmons, defensive player of the year in the league. I believe so highly in what he does. First team all defense last season, John. But last night, you adjust to what's given to you, and it called for, in my opinion, Matisse Thybulle a little bit earlier. John, let's play Family Game Day with you, if you don't mind. You ready?
We'll try.
Let's do it.
All right, John, you're going to get the name the plot. So you got to name, I'll give you the plot. You name me the movie. Here's the plot for your movie. A kid only wants one present for Christmas, and the adults around him continually tell him one phrase in particular.
You shoot your eyes out.
Yes. So what's the movie?
I don't remember. I can't remember it. I'm blank. I'll let Devon.
Oh, you're going to try to give it. Oh, see, these, I know it. I know what you're talking about. I know the movie. Is it A Christmas Life? All right.
Sorry, hit the wrong one. No, it's not A Christmas Life. Christmas Story.
Christmas Story.
Yes.
Oh, Christmas. All right, Christmas Story.
All right, thank you,
all
guys.
Right. Sorry. All right. Happy holidays, John T. Thank you, man. So what? I don't watch those movies. I know it, but I got the name wrong. I don't watch those movies. 24 hours, don't they do that? Like 24 hours?
Yeah, one of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas Story or A Wonderful Life or something like
that? It's Christmas Story.
It is? Yeah. 24 hours? Yeah, I'm not watching that. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you here.
Not once.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyler Zuli and for Tyrone Johnson. Not once? No. I'm out. I have no interest in that one. I don't.
Which ones are you in on?
You might bring them up. So I don't want to answer that
right
now.
All right, so we'll wait
until. As you bring them up with our questions with Family Game Day, I will let you know. And if you're not familiar and you're listening in for the first time, we do this every Thursday night, Family Game Night. We started this during the pandemic because we, you know, a lot of people having their family game nights and doing all these things. So we thought, why not bring it to the air and have a little fun. And we've done plenty of these from Family Feud to Supermarket Sweep, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? All these types of things. So we figured we would do so as well, filling in for Mike on on this during this time slot on NBC Sports Philadelphia as well. So hope you enjoy it. Check in 610-632-0975. A lot of crushing of Tobias Harris on Twitter. Dwight, realtor for you. Tobias is a mistake of the general manager. He's an average player. Only way he thrives here is a catch and shoot guy, or he has to be very efficient. Expectations are too high. And see, 19 for him is easy money. But the impact. So when we brought up Mikhail earlier, and obviously I'm biased, but look, I know they do two different things. But Mikhail is more valuable because if Mikhail's not giving you 19, he's still going to defend the heck out of the basketball. Who has it? Luka Doncic had 30, I think Luka had 33 last night, 32, 26 shots. And what were they doing? They were trying to get Mikhail off. Normally you switch to take advantage. They were trying to get Mikhail off of him because of how good of a job he was doing. Scored 32, got to the free throw line 10 times, and he was 0 of 6 from deep. That was what he did. That was the impact. And then Kale gave you 18 as well, with 4 of 7 from deep, 7 rebounds, 2 block shots, and only 2 personal fouls.
Well, and it's amazing, too. With
that's
the
what
way
I'm
that,
saying. The impact is different.
The way that Luka played last night, you and I were sitting here watching the game as our show was wrapping up.
Yeah.
We were saying he wasn't very efficient at the beginning of the game. I think he was like 1 of 5, 1 of 6.
Right.
So to have 32 points on 26 shots, efficiency on nights that you're struggling is crucial because you get your points in different ways.
Right. And for D-May to ask that question, serious question, is Tobias better than Mikhail? They do different things, but I think what Mikhail does is very, very valuable. And again, it's noticed. Let's go to Kevin in Delaware next on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Kev?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
All right. Happy holidays. I want to make a couple points, but one is about Frank Wright. You know, all this talk about Carson going to the Colts. I think that Frank Wright would keep his pick and get his own guy. Carson Wentz is Doug Peterson's guy. All this talk about him going to the Colts. You know,
Peterson's guy, though? Because remember, that was a collective effort with that, including Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas, Ron Jaworski was also in on that, and Doug Peterson as well. So I think that was more of a collective effort that they knew they needed a franchise quarterback. And right, remember, Steve, remember real quick, it was going to be either Wentz or Goff.
Right. Okay. Now, all this other talk about Rose is going to be gone and Carson.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
And all that stuff and fire Doug Peterson. Jalen Hurts said it best. He doesn't listen to the rat poison. And that's all this stuff is to me, is on rat poison. Carson will be, they both will be back here next year. And Carson needs some help. The one thing that this man needs is a healthy offensive line. He needs that desperately, you know, to get back to where he was in 2017. Mm-hmm. He also needs veteran wide receivers to go along with the young guys. You know,
Yes, but we have the veteran wide receivers here, and they weren't healthy.
They're hurt. They always hurt.
Yes.
They always hurt.
Yeah, but who made those decisions to bring those hurt guys in and back? The front office. So how can you count on them to do the right thing
I'm saying that they have to go out in the free agent market and get some.
They did. They went and got DeSean Jackson, and he has a history.
He's hurt.
But who did it? That's what I'm saying, Kev. Who did that? Howie Roseman did that.
No. But we all saw how DeSean got hurt, man. You can't, you know, plan that or.
No, but he has a history. He has a history of it, Kev.
That was a freaky thing.
I wanted him back, but he does. I can't ignore the fact that he has a history of it. Listen, Kev, we're up against it, man. We got to give you this one quickly. Family game day. Let's go, Tyler.
All right, you got to name that tune.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is.
I know it's Dean Martin, but I don't know the name of the song.
All right. See, there you go. Let us know. Let it slow.
Yeah, but he got Dean Martin,
he
so
did.
I can't give you the point for that.
I was helping him out.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. All right, you got it, man, Kev. He got
the
point.
Caller's up 3-1
then. 3-1. That's all right. We'll get to it. Steve, Aaron, Diami, Dahmer, Rally as well. One open phone line, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens talking Eagles, Sixers, and for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 3:28. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays. Hope you all are good, safe. Trying to sneak into those stores last minute. I know you. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli as well. We're both in for Mike Missinelli, Tyrone Johnson. No updates today, but in for Natalie as well. I will take your phone call, 610-632-0975. By the way, let's get a poll update for the Eagles question that we had. Tyler, what do we have?
Yeah, the question today is, which Eagles question do you have the most definitive answer for in heading into 2021? The quarterback situation, the head coach, general manager, or defensive coordinator? So far, we have 400 votes on this. You've got about 2 hours left to vote on this thing. 34% agree with you, Devon. They say the general manager. 26% say the quarterback situation. 21% say the defensive coordinator. 19% say the head coach.
Okay. All right. And by the way, the Twitter poll update was brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. So make sure you check them out. A couple of people, Dylan McKinnon, who is here as well helping out during the show. And Dylan McKinnon called my performance for a couple of those movies there Tobias Harris-like. That was disrespectful, Dylan.
That's fair.
No, it isn't.
You're on the scoreboard. You're there.
Yeah, but I'm trying.
But you should have a couple more points. So is he. I know that he's trying.
Is he? Like you said, somebody just said that, you know, he pretty much gave up after 3 fouls. Then I had Loudy Wood on Twitter says, come on, man, give Christmas Story a chance this year. And during the break, my brother texts me and starts attacking me for the Jingle All the Way movie.
I don't think you're going to be allowed to family events soon.
Well, listen, they always watch that stuff, and I liked the movie. Again, I knew who it was. I just forgot the title of the movie. I know all the movies that they watched as kids, the ones that my kids watch, that we watch together, and all that stuff. But sometimes I just forget the name of them, except the ones that I want to talk about, like Trading Places. Is it a Christmas movie?
May or may not be in this list.
Let's see. Oh.
May or may not be there.
Oh, okay. All right. 610-632-0975. What answers do we have about the Philadelphia Eagles as of right now? The quarterback controversy that's going on. What answers do we have at this point? A lot of questions. What answers do we have? 610-632-0975. We mentioned already one answer that we have. The tight end position, that is going to be Dallas Goedert. Now, will Zach Ertz be back? Probably not. What do they do? Maybe they'll draft a younger player to have backing him up. Maybe Josh Perkins elevate. I don't know, right? They'll go more 11 personnel than 12 with the quarterback, whether it's Hurts or Wentz. With Goddard, offensive line, sure, we don't know. What we do know as far as an answer is, my opinion, you need more in the running back position. You need more. As good as Miles Sanders is, and as electrifying as Boston Scott has been from time to time, when we talk about that number 53 pick and J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, that we highlighted last season during the draft, last April during the draft, Tyler Zuli, Joe Torti, and myself, when we were doing the draft show, No, I still think you need another running back.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't even necessarily.
I think that's an answer right now that they need an extra running back with this team.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I don't even necessarily think it had to be J.K. Dobbins or Cam Akers. That would have been nice. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it necessarily had to be any of them. And there's a couple of guys in this draft coming up that if you can get in the fourth or fifth or sixth round, I think will be active members of your running back committee. I mean, you look at one in particular, the running back out of Buffalo, Jarrett Patterson.
He's nice.
I mean, all he does is run for 300 yards. Now, I know
that they
give him the ball 30 times. I don't know how much tread he's going to have.
And in a limited role, how well
how effective can he be?
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
But, I mean, that's one guy that I look at that could be your fifth or sixth round pick that allows you to draft.
Six? He's on the radar too much.
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he goes higher than
that? It's the Mac.
You do know better than us.
It's the Mac thing.
All right.
But, you know, you get a guy like that in the fifth or sixth round, you've got yourself a legitimate running back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 610-632-0975. We're also playing Family Game Day, where we give you a question. You know, we normally do it on Family Game Night. We incorporate any kind of game from Family Feud to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, all these things. But today we're doing it Christmas theme, and we're calling out the people who are shopping last minute. I may or may not have to run out before the show. I'm just saying. Steve in Delaware next on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, hey, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Happy holidays. There.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you.
So I'm left with a bunch of frustration, Devon. And I'm frustrated when I take it to the Eagles is, what's the future of this team? I mean, you look at this roster, and I don't see a bright future at all, no matter what quarterback is behind center. I mean, I look at it, and it's just like it's. And I believe wholeheartedly that Howie Roseman won't get fired.
All right, so let me jump in, Steve, because a couple of weeks ago, Tyler and I at night did this one with the topic. What's the core, young core group of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean,
This is before Jalen Hurts. So is it whatever it is, and is it good? Is it good enough based off what you see from others?
No,
exactly. Now, you have stuff that you like, Miles Sanders. Now, Hurts is in there. Maybe Mailata is something. And Dallas Goedert, Jalen Reagor. But what else?
Honestly, like I said, they're decent.
And I like Alex.
But they're
Singleton.
Not elite.
And I like
but they're
Alex.
Not a, nobody, no young talent on the team is elite.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Right.
And it just goes to show, and it's just like, I don't think anybody in that building can really evaluate and really knows how to evaluate talent. Because if you look at these drafts and the players that have come in that they brought in, and it just makes you want to just scratch your head, like how did you miss on this deep draft where you miss wide receiver for three drafts in a row? Like, how do you miss when these guys are like right in front of your face?
You had to trade up to draft get them. Classes as well at that deep.
You can't convince me. I look at Brandon Graham. He's a great player. He's only had one Pro Bowl. He hasn't had over a double-digit sack season. But these are the guys that I'm like this. But the reality is that Carson Wentz will be the scapegoat. Doug Peterson may be the scapegoat. But this guy will still be here. And then how do you get excited about somebody who really hasn't brought you anything in drafting? And, I mean, like I said, this 2017 season was great, but that was just that season.
Well, Doug Peterson told us it was the new norm. And he lied to us because that's not the case. And when you bring up the defensive end position with Brandon Graham, that is supposed to be what you got in 2017 in that draft with Sidney Jones when you took Derek Barnett very early in the first round. And don't get me started on him.
And he's not good either.
Exactly. Don't get me started on him.
Josh Sweat, none of these guys. Vinny Curry's back here.
I like Josh Sweat, and he was a fourth, fifth round selection. When you look at Derek Barnett, he's supposed to be the guy. I would prefer, especially with the lower number, to bring back Josh Sweat on a new contract than I would in giving Derek Barnett one.
But his thing is Josh Sweat elite.
No. That's what I'm saying. A lesser contract. I need to still get someone on the edge that's going to replace Derek Barnett and give better production. But as far as a rotational player, Josh Sweat, I would like to see him back.
It's so many things that you have to fix on both sides of the ball. It's just like this. It's like I can't really be excited about anything. I mean, Jalen Hurts is great. And I mean, if it ends up being him, fine. But the thing is, like, what's the future, really?
Nah, I get it, man. Hey, Steve, listen, man, you want to play Family Game Day with us?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and one thing about your Tobias Harris, he's trash. He should have been gone a long time ago.
I didn't say it. Steve did. Let's go.
All right, Steve, callers are up 3-1 right now. I'm going to give you the plot of a movie. You got to tell me the movie. Now, our floating associate producer today, Dylan McKinnon, swears by this movie. I'm not so sure if it is a Christmas movie or not, but I'll let you guys make the decision.
Well, we don't like Dylan. He called me Tobias Harris of guessing this game.
All right, so here's your question. In this movie, a cute, cuddly pet creates a horde of monsters after its owner broke the rules.
Gremlins?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's correct.
That's a great call. Great guess, Steve. Happy holidays, man. We'll talk to you. Appreciate it. That's a good one. Dylan likes that movie, huh?
Well, no, Dylan says it's a Christmas movie. So I'm curious if you think the same thing.
It is Christmas themed. It is around that. Like you mentioned one, well, I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And you can get into the whole thing with all of these other ones that are they not? I don't know. You got to ask Booney on that one.
By the way, speaking of Dan.
Yeah, what did Booney say?
He's gotten everyone right so far.
Did he?
Yes. Every single one right.
Booney's showing off. He's showing off.
He's beating you and the callers combined.
610-632-0975. Let's go to Aaron in Drexel Hill next. Aaron, is the Gremlins movie a Christmas movie, Aaron?
So, it has a Christmas theme. I never was ever considered a Christmas movie.
Right.
I'm with you. I love me some Trading Places, too. One of my favorite movies of all time as well.
Yeah.
I don't even think about Gremlins anymore.
You know, it's crazy. I was up late one night after one of the games, like 2 weeks ago, and it was on. And I watched it. And I was like, dang, I forgot about this. Putting the Gremlin in a microwave, blowing it up, all that cool stuff.
Yeah. Can't do that in today's society.
No, you can't do that.
We're super sensitive now.
Yeah, I know.
PETA would have been then called the movie industry about that.
What you got on the birds, man?
So, I actually want to jump on the Sixers and I'll finish off with the birds.
Sure.
The Sixers last night, a good show. I think the city, you know, for those who thought negatively of it, I just think the city just went a little overboard. It was game one. These guys haven't had a full preseason, full training camp. What I was really impressed with, although we missed a lot of them, it was so many wide open shots that was created in the offense last night. We just missed a lot of those wide open shots. So I'm hoping that, you know, that's a continuous trend that we get a lot more open looks for our shooters and they begin to knock them down.
That's the whole purpose of bringing those shooters in, to make it easier for Simmons and Embiid. And with them having it going, those shot attempts will be there.
Yeah, I need Ben got his normal 16-9-9, you know, or 16-8-8 to say the least. Mm-hmm. This year for me personally, I want Ben to average at least 20 a game. Had he made his free throws, he would have had his 20 points a game, 20 points that night.
You know where I am, Aaron. Knock down your free throws, your percentage goes up, your points per game go up, your confidence goes up.
Exactly. So that's where I'm at. In regards to your Tobias take, listen, I'm a Tobias fan, and I understand exactly what you guys are saying, the impact of his numbers. A lot of missed shots yesterday, but I agree with you in the sense that I think Tobias could attack the paint a little bit better. You know what I mean? Get to the free throw line. He's a good free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things. And take advantage of his size. So when you get mismatches against smaller players, just take them right down to the block.
Every bit of 6'9".
Yep. And go all the way.
Put them little dudes on in the basket. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get your Eagles point in quickly. I'll answer after the break because we want to give you an opportunity to play the game too.
My Eagles point is, I have two questions. One, what happens if Jalen Hurts goes 1-3 for this season for his four games that he plays? And then number two, I agree with you that Howie needs to go, but how much of a leash do you give to Doug Peterson with play calling again?
All right, let's do it, Ty. Let's give him a game here.
All right, Aaron, you're going to get a name that tune. You ready?
All right. That's easy. Donny Hathaway.
Merry Christmas, Aaron.
We'll talk
to you, man. 610-632-0975.
That song was on for like 2 seconds.
I know. It's very easy. He nailed it. Everybody on hold, hang on. We'll get to you when we get back. 610-632-0975. Eagles, Sixers reaction from last night. The leftover talk from that. And family game day as well. And we have Brian Westbrook for the 4 o'clock hour. Barrett Brooks at 4:10. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that funk of Von Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't know why I laughed at that as soon as he started with that. Elvis. All right. 345, 97.5, The Fanatic.
You don't get a point for that.
Happy holidays. You just cheated. Because, yes, I do. What am I down? 5-1?
Yeah, it's 5-1 right now.
5-1. All right. Well,
I got to give you an opportunity to go first.
No. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it as is. By the way, I forgot, because we had so much fun and everything that's going on talking to Birds and the Eagles, I forgot to mention that at 5:10, which we always do on Fridays, since we will not be with you tomorrow, it is Christmas Day. Tyler Zuli and I do our weekly NFL picks. He has the little black book, and we'll find out where we were. I always forget what I chose last week, and Tyler will let us know what we did last week with the NFL pick. So we'll give you that as we go along. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, and for Mike Missinelli, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Brian Westbrook in the next hour. Barrett Brooks at 4:10 as well. B. West will be with us for the entire hour. Let's go to Diami in Lansdale next on The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Diami, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Man, the Eagles and the contract situation, especially with Wentz and Ertz, with the offense that we run, it's hilarious to me seeing Miles Sanders' numbers running the ball and us not running it more, especially seeing like some quick play actions I see on like deep balls and stuff like that.
Doug Peterson is a passing he's a quarterback. He believes in the pass, and we will not see a lot in the run game there.
And I understand that, but if you look at
any, and I agree with you,
team, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's a mentality thing with Carson. If you look at Carson, he's I'm going to take my ball and go home since y'all going to let me do what I feel like even though I didn't earn it. Whereas Hurts said, don't hold me accountable for being young. I want to win at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you have that mentality, it's a lot easier to coach than Carson being like, well, like he's acting like we want to pay this backup quarterback as much money as we did.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, man. And so when you look at the Ertz and Wentz, you just mentioned, you know, the Wentz and all that. What do you think the deal is with Ertz going forward? You think they let him go? They trade him? What?
I love Ertz, but in the heavy passing offense, if Doug is going to do this and refuse to run the ball for reasons I don't know, if you look at Dallas Goedert, he is much more of a yards after catch tight end than Ertz. Ertz runs great routes. He has good hands. But if you look at when he catches it, he drops. He does not really go for extra yards. We've seen Dallas make some outstanding catches. And unlike Wentz, Ertz still has some trade value. If we move him on, whether it's during or after draft night, for it can be picks, it can be kind of like to help dump that salary to try to help even out that dead cap if we cut Carson. I think that granted Dallas has been the second tight end, has not been the primary focus. He's taken advantages of his opportunities. I still like Richard Rodgers another year or so to help Dallas.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, we draft a guy later in the rounds, on our running game that's solid. I don't know what homeboy is talking about with we need another running back. He's tripping.
No, I'm with him. You need another running back. You need another one. Because I like Boston Scott, but when you have three, look, Corey Clement, great stuff in 2017. He hasn't been the same. They brought back Jordan Howard. So that tells you all you need to know about what they have overall with the running back grouping. And I'm with them. Another running back. And I looked at that in the second round. Best talent available. Yes, Jalen Hurts has turned out to work out so far, but overall, yeah, I'm with another running back there, Diami. I am.
Yeah, I'm glad to see us moving on from that 17 team. It was a good memory, but if you're gonna, he gonna be like one of them old heads that just talk about his glory days, like instead of moving forward. You know what I mean?
Nah, I hear you, man. You ready to play Family Game Day, man?
Sure, I'll give it a shot.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so you're gonna get a I'll give you the plot. You name the movie. Caller's up 5-1 right now. Devon, not looking so great.
Oh, they're doing well, too.
Yeah. All right, so here's your question. In this movie, a couple decided that they were not going to do Christmas, but then rushed to create the holiday when their daughter said that she was coming home to celebrate with them.
I'm the least movie-savvy person in the world. Devon might get a point.
Say it again.
Okay. A couple decided that they were not going to do a big Christmas, but rushed to create the holiday when their daughter said that she was coming home to celebrate with them.
Is it Christmas with the Crunks? Yes. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Ooh,
it is.
We put that on one time like 3 years ago.
Hold on, which one was that?
Christmas with the Cranks.
I saw it. Who was in that?
Tim Allen.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right, I remember it now. Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Deami, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas. Great
work by you, because I would not have gotten that one.
It was a great pull.
That was, because I'm sitting, that's why I said, say it again. I know the plot, remember the story.
Movie was terrible.
It was terrible. Booney probably got it, and Deami got it. I did not. All right, 610-632-0975. Is it Damir? Damir, listen, we'll get to you when we get back. We got to bring B. West in, and B. West does take phone calls, so hang on. He will talk Sixers. I'm going to pull the whole thing about Tobias Harris out of him since you're there. TR, Dave, Rally as well. A couple of people just dropped, so if you want to check in, 610-632-0975. We will have Brian Westbrook up next for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Barrett Brooks will join us at 4:10. And at 5:10, we will give Tyler Zuli and I our NFL picks. And maybe, just maybe, I'll catch up. And Dylan McKinnon will not be able to say that I'm having a Tobias Harris-like performance. 610-632-0975. The Mike Missanelli Show, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 358 97.5 The Fanatic, coming to you from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast on 97.5 The Fanatic, as well as NBC Sports Philadelphia. This is Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Devon Givens, filling in for Mike on this Christmas Eve. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope you're all safe, ready to go. Got your gifts all taken care of. Tyler Zuli in for Tyrone Johnson and Natalie Eganoff as well. And guys, on hold, hang on, we'll get to you. Barrett Brooks will join us at 4:10, but joining us right now, as he does every week during the 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Missanelli Show. This is not a Friday, it's a Thursday, but everyone is off tomorrow. Let's bring in my brother, my partner on the pregame show every Sunday, along with Derek Gunn, Brian Westbrook joining us. What's up, B-Wes?
Devon, how are you doing, brother? Happy holidays, man. It's Christmas time. Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Really appreciate that. Hope you and the family are doing well and getting ready for tomorrow. What's the latest with the elf on the shelf?
The elf has been busy here at the Westbrook household. Elf West has been skiing. She had a wrestling match. She was in the kitchen. She's doing all different types of stuff. She had a party. She had a game night. The elf on the shelf is certainly busy here in the Westbrook household. And I'll tell you what, as much as we're looking forward to Santa coming tonight and throwing some presents underneath the tree, the kids have certainly enjoyed the time with the elf on the shelf as the Christmas season, has commenced earlier on this month.
If you are not following Brian Westbrook, you're missing a treat here at 36 Westbrook on Twitter, because it has been – Fantastic to follow along with the Elf on the Shelf in the Westbrook household. And and Brian Westbrook, his 4 to 5 visit here for this hour is brought to you by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, B, we have a lot to get into, from the Eagles to the 76ers. We'll get into all the Sixers talk in just a bit, and we have phone calls that definitely want to talk about the game last night. But I have to start with you, man, because last Sunday when we did the pregame show, we talked about the story that was out there from ESPN and Carson Wentz wanting to be moved if he is going to be a backup next season behind Jalen Hurts. Not happy about that. That kind of picked up steam during the week, even after the game has already taken place. Jalen Hurts looked very good against the Arizona Cardinals. So first, just some leftover talk from that and where you are with the fact that it was put out there with 3 games remaining last week, now 2 to go. And then, you know, your thoughts on what happened in the game as well.
Well, yeah, you know, Devon, I've been excited to really address all these things because a lot has been said from a lot of different sources, a lot of different people all week long about this Carson Wentz issue. But I think it's important to set the table before we even get to the exact issue, right? I think we have to all be on the same playing field when it comes to the issues and understand how things work, right? Mm-hmm. So for perspective, when you think of all the major TV, radio networks, they have, you know, former athletes, former players on their network, NBC, ABC, CBS, ESPN, 97.5 has former athletes for one reason alone, really, because the athletes can give you a different perspective. I can give you a different perspective than Adam Schefter, and I can give you a different perspective in the huddle and in the locker room that Chris Mortensen can never give you because they never played the game. They've never been in the locker room. They never had those game-day situations where you're trying to figure things out and you're trying to focus solely on the game. Athletes can give you the thoughts and the conversation, the insights to the conversation that they had with GMs and presidents of teams and the owners of teams. They've been there and they've done that. That's why you have athletes there. And they're also there to analyze the game, analyze what's going on in the field. Think about Tony Romo, his ability to recall some of the things that happened to him on the field and really throw that into the games that he's watching and say, hey, they're blitzing from the left side, the right side. That's why you have athletes there, so that they can give you a different perspective that most of these other people just can't give you, right? Now, here's the other part about athletes. The athletes aren't there to break stories. They're not there to say, you know, this is happening, that is happening. They're not there to research, to track down leads. They're not there to do those types of things at all. They're there to analyze what they see on the field and react to what is being reported by guys that their job is to track down sources, to track down leads, to go out there and do their job, to track all those things down, to put stories together. They're reporters. The athletes aren't the reporters. They're their analysts. That's what they're there to do, analyze these things. And so just like you mentioned, we go back to the report last Sunday from Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter that I absolutely respect. Adam Schefter that I think he does a great job at his job. This is a pregame report, right? And we talked about it on the show just like you mentioned. This is how the report simply goes. And these are just simply how it goes. Sources. It starts, first word, the headline.
Yeah.
Sources.
Right.
Carson Wentz not interested in backup role. Will want to leave Philadelphia Eagles if Jalen Hurts remains starting quarterback. Sources said that. Sources close to the team said that. This is important to understand where these things come from. Just think about it. Who the heck does Adam Schefter talk to? Think about those things. So now you got to get to the initial reaction. We're on the show. My initial reaction was quick and immediate. Wow, this is terrible timing. This is Jalen Hurts' second start in the NFL. His second opportunity to go out there and prove himself as a player. The second opportunity for the team around him to see the type of player that he is. Terrible timing. Absolutely terrible timing. And just so you know, he hasn't even started 2 games. The defenses haven't even got enough film on him to have a complete breakdown of him as a quarterback. And quite honestly, as good as he played against against the Saints, we still, before last week's game, and probably afterwards, after they played the Cardinals, we still don't know exactly who the heck Jalen Hurts is as a player.
Right.
Because he's still young. He's still raw. He still has to develop a lot. He may develop into the best quarterback that we've ever seen in our organization. He may develop into a guy that should be a backup. We don't actually know that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's important to understand. The most important thing in this whole thing, of the timing of this, whether it was right before the game, whether it was a week before, to me, that doesn't matter. The most important thing is that this team, this football team, 2020 football team, Philadelphia Eagles, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. As small as that chance is, as small as it is, not a high probability, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. I remember last year, after 12 games, they were 5-7. They were in a situation, in my mind, there's no way they're going to make the playoffs. They have four games left. And what did they do? Doug Peterson pulled that team together, and they fought their butts off so they can go out there and make it to the playoffs. Carson Wentz played well those last four games. Carson Wentz played well. He carried this football team. Said it in the past. I'll say it again now. It's important to understand. This is not a bash Carson Wentz session. It's just not. It never has been. But that's what happened last year. So they went from 5-7, made a rally to make it into the playoffs. So if I'm on this football team, if I'm Jason Kelce, who's fought through a lot, he's playing with a big old brace on his arm right now. If I'm D-Jack, hey, think what you want about D-Jack, but he's fought through injury, surgery to come back to try to play, still just got activated on a 21-day active deal so he could potentially play the season. If I'm Alshon battling back from Liz Frank, I don't care how you feel about these guys, but to battle back from injury, surgery to try to play, that deserves, you know, some respect there. Jason Peters, again, hasn't played great this season, but at 38, he's tried his best. He's went out there and played with injuries from right guard to left tackle. He's gone out there and played different positions. But hopefully this team can make a chance, has a chance to make it to the playoffs. Brandon Graham, and listen, all these guys, this may be their last year in Philadelphia. The way that there's no way in their mind that they want to go out with a losing record, which they're going to have, but also without making the playoffs. So they're doing everything they can to make the playoffs. So for them to hear this, that's where I go immediately as a former player. I go straight to them like, this is the last thing that I want to hear on game day or even during the season about my football team. I've been in locker rooms in 04 when there's a split locker room, 05 when there's a split locker room, T.O. side and Donovan side. I've been in locker rooms where in San Francisco where everything wasn't pointed towards winning football. I've been in those locker rooms. I understand. That's why the player's perspective is important. That's why when you hear players talk, that's where they're coming from. So when I'm reading these reports, I'm saying, well, hold on, time out. Why would Carson even suggest that to anyone? Why would he suggest that to anyone while we still got a chance to make the playoffs? Well, we still are fighting our butts off to have an opportunity to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Why would he say that when we still have the opportunity? And I got to say this again. It's important to know that nobody, none of those guys I mentioned, nobody on this football team said a word about Carson Wentz and his performance during the first 12 games of the season.
Yeah,
Nobody said anything.
They would all take it on their shoulders and say everyone needs to do better. Carson will get it together. We still have the belief, even when he was pulled for the start against the which one did he start against?
Was it the Packers, I think, right?
It was the Packers, the first game that he started. And they said, you know, they were upset as far as
they were upset, they were supportive, and they wanted to go out there and help him. Absolutely.
Yeah, now take Brian Westbrook joining us for the 4 o'clock hour, the entire 4 o'clock hour here on the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. So how does this work? Because as you said, for Carson to do this, it's frustrating because Carson is the one who is the player. He is the franchise quarterback. He has their ear whenever it happens. But oftentimes, especially during the season and the offseason, it's the agent as well. So, as you pointed out, as a former player, having been in negotiations, contract discussions that you have been made public a little bit, even though yours wasn't as public or anything like that, how does it go from the communication from the player and the agent to then relaying it to the front office? Because essentially, the agent works for you.
Right, but that's the important part. And I know people are saying, well, Carson has already said he hasn't said that. Well, yeah, of course he's going to say that. That's how it works. Because as a player, you go to your agent and say, hey, man, I don't like what's going on here. It ain't cool. I want out. After the conversation with your agent, you guys probably go back and forth. He gives you your different options. You say, I still feel that same way. The agent now goes to the GM, to the president, and sometimes to the owner of the team, depending on the relationship there, and says, this is how my player feels. This is where we stand. From our side, from the player and the agent side, this is where we stand. And it's important for you guys to understand that because, you know, we don't want to be in a position where you don't understand. The key to that whole thing is that when you do that, when your agent goes and says that, as a player, and this is why you do that, as a player, you can always say, you know what? I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
My agent say that. So but you take the responsibility off your plate. You can look to the guys in the locker room who are coming up to you saying, well, why would you say that? And say, I didn't say that. My agent said that. Right?
Right.
I'm looking at a story from Mike Florio right now. It talks about the report last Sunday. It also talks about Rob Motti's report. And Rob Motti, a co-worker there at the station, he said, Carson never said any of these things, and I understand. This is what Mike Florio said to that. The easiest way to reconcile this is to say that Carson Wentz hadn't told anyone, but his agents have. And that's quite possibly the best way to harmonize these competing reports. Of course, his agent said this is the reason why you have former players in this role, so that you can give perspective of how these things are said. Now, and Devon, I got to say this, and I know we got Barrett coming. I got to say this before we get Barrett on. Adam Schefter, again, I respect him. And I believe that he has the best sources in the NFL. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Him and Chris Mortensen, best sources in the NFL. That could be players. That could be general managers. That can be team presidents.
Scouts,
that can be
all kinds of stuff.
Scouts.
Yeah.
Anything. It could be anybody inside the organization. Remember what the thing said at the beginning. Sources. So when he puts in his story that the sources close to the team, sources say this. And then yesterday he comes on our station and says, well, I didn't talk to Carson, and I didn't talk to his agent. Well, then you have to ask yourself, what sources do you think he's talking to? It has to be someone inside the organization. How do those people inside the organization get information? Well, they hear it from Carson's agent. I mean, it's simple. Schefter also said this, in which I completely disagree with. He said, well, I didn't hear anything else about it. I put the story out on Sunday, and I didn't hear anything else about it, and people started blowing up my phone. I thought it wasn't a big story.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Schefter, what are you talking about? We've been talking about this every day in Philadelphia. What do you mean it's not a big
since
story?
Since the Dallas game before the bye week.
Absolutely. That a franchise quarterback, the face of a franchise that had made over $100 million guaranteed in that contract that was signed June 2019, that he wants out of the organization. You don't think you reporting that is not a big story? That's nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean, again,
foolish.
I love Adam Schefter, but that's just not fair.
Yeah,
that's his job, isn't he? Yeah. He went and did reporting on that.
Yep.
So let's talk facts here. But I mean, again, there's a lot of different things that go on, but you have to understand from the player's perspective, from the reporter's perspective, and their job, their duty to go look up stories, get sources, and all those different things. Absolutely, that's their job. The player's, the analyst's job is to analyze those reports, to look at them, and then tell you from the player's perspective what is going on. That's our job.
And let's not forget, before we bring Barrett on, let's not forget about the Dan Orlovsky part of this, where he also said that Carson Wentz felt betrayed. And mm-hmm. Where did that come from? That came from somewhere for Dan Orlovsky, a former player, to your point, that does not seek out that type of information. It's absolutely just to break down the game and all that. He found that out somehow and felt strongly enough about it to go out there and then report it as well. So
Devon, Dan Orlovsky has had Carson Wentz back all season long, going back to last year. We understand
100%.
Now, look all the players that said negative things about this report. Ryan Clark, Tiki Barber, mm-hmm. Rex Ryan, other guys at ESPN, Orlovsky, myself, Brandon Marshall. You know why? Because just think about who all those guys are. Either a head coach in Rex Ryan or players, because they know how it looks in the locker room. That's the important part. The timing is important, the important part. This is an off-season conversation for Carson Wentz and his staff.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's bleeding over into the season when this young guy's getting a chance to still win the division, get the team into the playoffs, and he has to answer questions for everyone else when it's not his problem at all. Brian Westbrook joining us for the 4 o'clock hour here on the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia, and another former player, a weekly guest on our show every Thursday night. My other brother, another former player from NBC Sports Philadelphia, pre- and post-game show analyst and Quick Slants on Thursdays. We have to find out if B is doing Quick Slants with Danny today. Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward, and bring in Barrett Brooks with Brian Westbrook and Devon Givens. B, Brooks, what's up, man? Happy holidays.
What's going on, man? Happy holidays, everybody. Devon, Brian, at this point, you guys are absolutely right, man. I mean, I love how you guys are breaking it down, especially, you know, just giving the truth about the situation. The truth is, at this point, there's no truth. We're all speculating, but where there's smoke, there's fire. As a player, you understand how things get started, who gets the information, how it goes to the pipeline, and where it's coming from, you know, just from being in a position to experience these type of things happening. So I understand what you're saying, man. This is tough. This is tough. So, but, hey, you know, it's the nature of the beast.
So Barrett, take us in. As Brian just alluded to, as a player and analyzing this whole thing and this information getting out, when you first heard this, before you guys started your pregame show, and you heard the reports from Schefter, you heard about Orlovsky saying that he felt betrayed, Carson Wentz, and the information is out there, what does that do? Your first thoughts, and again, as Brian talked about, what does that do for locker room?
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, the ultimate goal right now is to win games. And, you know, Jason Kelce broke it down perfectly. At this point, he's saying that the most important thing is winning football games. It doesn't matter what the quarterback battle is. It doesn't worry about, you know, who's starting at center. The ultimate goal is to win football games. Now, when you hear things that push you away from that solid goal of going out there and winning football games, then yes, it does become something that, you know, it's a locker room burden. There are things in that locker room that stay in that locker room. And when it gets out like this, it just goes to show that, you know, there's not guys totally focused on what the ultimate goal is, and that's to win football games. We understand that Carson Wentz, for the past 12 games, 13 games, has not played up to a level at which we were used to seeing. We know this. Carson also understands that he is not playing well enough to be the starting quarterback. He understands that also. He understood that they had to make a move. But he also understands he's the franchise quarterback, and he's going to make $108 million guaranteed, whether, you know, whatever goes on today in that locker room right now. He's going to get the money. But the fact that, you know, it came out the way it came out, sources close to the team, I mean, that's, you know, that comes from the agent all day. He's doing his job. But he's doing a job that he, you know, that you know, he's getting paid to do. He's paid to generate a means in which his client is put in the best light. His client, his ultimate goal is to keep his client happy. And at this point, Carson is not happy. Carson is on a bench. This is the first time in his life that he's rode the bench as a non-starter. You know, he's rode the bench when he was hurt, but not as a starter. There's nothing wrong with him right now, and he's riding the bench. This is hard for Carson. He hasn't experienced this before. So, of course, you know, there are going to be days where he's going to be talking to people that are close to him, and things might come out. But this is his agent's job to really go out there and at least start generating interest from other teams, you know, doing his job. So, all right, we're going to make this team, you know, make a decision right now. We want to see where we're going in the future as far as Carson being on this team. Those are all things that agent is paid to do. He might not have said directly, hey, you know, see if you can generate some interest or doing, but he has, you know, communicated with his agent. Yes, I'm unhappy about this situation. I don't feel as though I should be in a situation, but also know that I haven't played as well as I should be playing right now.
And guys,
but at this point, you know.
No, I hear you. And Brian, I wanted to ask you this off of what B just said, Barrett just said, and the things that you laid out for the first part, was when we talk about the relationship between the agent and the player, at what point in that discussion, before it even gets out there, even though you had the talks only a few weeks remaining in the season, does the player say to the agent, do your work behind the scenes, but don't, you know, say anything to me, Tyler Zuli, Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, where this does not disrupt the team?
Well, I think the expectation from the player side is that the agent is going to do it quietly and go straight to the team and speak straight to the GM, the president, whoever the their contact person is with the team. Now here's the truth, and this is Barrett certainly understands this as well. Once the team has that information, they can distribute that to whatever source, which happens all the time, whatever a contact, whatever, whoever they want in the universe. And that's how these things get out. How do you think Orlovsky knows that Wentz is not happy? How do you think that? Of course, some source, someone close to Carson has said that. Absolutely. That's how these things get out. So, again, it's a tough situation, but that's the reality of this game. That's the reality of how the inner workings of this game work. And again, and this is important. I'm glad that we have Barrett on. This is why you have the former players there, so they can give you the truth, so they can give you the facts of how these conversations are had and how this information gets spread out. That's how it works.
Well, I'm going to ask you both to hang on for a minute because we are up against this. So, Barrett, if you don't mind, man, hang on, and we'll get you back on the other side with Brian Westbrook and I. We have some phone calls because there are guys who want to address this with you guys. Rally, TR, Mike, Dave, and a couple of other people that are there as well. So 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook, Barrett Brooks, Devon Givens, in for Mike Missinelli here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're still taking your Sixers phone calls. We're still playing Family Game Night. Barrett always does it. We're going to pull B. West in it as well. Family Game Night, movies, music, Christmas theme as well. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, look at that. The music again. It's the holiday season. That sounds more like a tropical. Oh, yeah, I remember this one. Brian Westbrook.
Do the luau dance.
Exactly.
That dance
right. That's what I was about to say. Barrett Brooks on the line as well. Devon Givens in for Mike Missinelli, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff, Tyler Zuli here. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. The 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. And guys, before we get back into all of that and take the phone calls, 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli has to give us a Twitter poll update brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Tyler Zuli, what do we have?
All right, Devon, the question is, which Eagles question do you have the most definitive answer on for 2021? Your options are quarterback situation, the head coach, the general manager, or the defensive coordinator. Just about 500 votes on this one so far. 34% of the people agree with you, Devon. They say the general manager. 24% say the quarterback situation, and then 21% each for the head coach and the defensive coordinator.
Barry, you hear that question. What do you answer? And again, they can check it out, 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. You hear that? What's your answer?
So you're talking about going towards the future?
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest, man, you can have 10 other guys out there, you know, that are playing okay. But there's one position you cannot have a bad game at, and that's the quarterback position. It's really hard for you to win games if your quarterback is not playing up to par, as, you know, as we witnessed this year. I think that's what, you know, one of the strengths was going into this year, that Carson was the guy, that he was the quarterback that was probably better than anybody else in the division. So when this didn't happen, you could have everybody playing great, but if one guy's playing bad, then it just really shows you, you know, that you can't have that happen. But I'm not going to say, I'm going to say the relationship between the head coach and Carson Wentz, you know, it may be a little frayed, you know, as they go forward. So I think that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest indictment on what I've seen this past couple of days and with this season is, you know, these guys aren't on the same page. You know, I see a different offense with, you know, with what they're running with Hurts and they did with Carson. You know, what is relationship as far as can they go out and still have an harmonious relationship with this? You know, can he, will he respect the play calling that Doug has, or Doug will be able to allow him to go out there and really, you know, run the offense the way it's supposed to be run? Those are all things that I think is frayed right now. So at this point, as you go forward, you know, it has to be, it has to be the quarterback position.
B-West.
Oh, it's weird, and I'm glad you brought that up, Barrett, because I think you're absolutely right. Just think about this, and we talk about the drafting, and listen, I've been on record saying that we have to draft much better than we've drafted over these last 4 years, being that we really only have four starters out of the 28 draft picks over the last 4 years. But I also look at organizations that we have to compare ourselves to. We have to compare ourselves to winners like New England Patriots, right? New England hasn't done a great job of drafting. They just haven't. But they've done a great job of great schemes from Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels on the offensive side of the ball. They've done a great job of not making mistakes, one of the least penalized teams in the NFL traditionally. But they play all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And most importantly, and to Barrett's point, the quarterback position, and obviously we're talking about Tom Brady, but most importantly, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't make a bunch of mistakes. And the one position that can carry you when everything else is just going bad or not playing up to their draft position is the quarterback position. That's why I said at the beginning of the season, this season solely relies on Carson Wentz's ability to carry this football team. And to that point, I thought at the time he had the ability to carry this team. That's why you say he's the best team in the division, because at that point, Barry, you think that he has the ability to carry this team. We've seen the MVP season, the close to MVP season. We've seen his ability to escape the pocket, make every throw, be strong and sturdy. We've seen all those things. We saw the last four games of last year. And now I'm saying that's the runway for him to take off in 2020. It just didn't happen. He was the linchpin to hold this whole thing together. And unfortunately, things did not work that way this season. And you're right. The quarterback position does hold a lot of power. And again, that's why they get paid so much money. There's a simple go figure out who's the most important person to every organization. Usually it's the person that gets paid the most money. And in this case, it's the quarterback.
610-632-0975. We have to get a little bit more into the game. We have to look ahead as well to the Dallas Cowboys. Guys, it doesn't even feel like a Dallas Cowboy week, does it? Going into this one with a 4-9-1 record, Dallas stinks as well. And here we are, Dallas on Sunday. The game means something. And we haven't really talked about it as much. And it's ridiculous that we're in this place. But before we do that, fellas, let's give Rally on the Cell. He's been hanging on patiently for quite some time. Let's get Rally up here next on the Mike Missinelli Show with Brian Westbrook, Barrett Brooks here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Rally?
Hey, happy.
Yeah, happy holidays.
One or two comments. I think Howie got to go, and either Peterson or we get an offensive coordinator. He should have had Wentz come at, instead of being in the pocket, go on rollouts. You know, he's gun shy now. You know, that's one of the things. And another thing is, how many changes do we have in the offensive line? I mean, we had a lot.
I think there had been about, what, Bear, 13, 14 different iterations of the offensive line?
But, absolutely. You know, that's ridiculous.
When Reed was there, Reed had a kid by the name of Veach. And when Reed left Philadelphia, took him to Kansas City. Now he's the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
What a job he's doing.
Yeah, that team is phenomenal, sure.
But here, I want to throw this at you at Christmas time. One of the Eagles games, I'm 74 years old. One of the games that I went to was 69 at Franklin Field, the last game there. We played the Steelers, and they snowballed Santa Claus. And the fans were mad at the organization because they didn't want to pay the money. But I think that if Howie, look at the free agents that got through his
We had Beasley from the Cowboys. We just had the guy from the Cardinals. The guy from the Cardinals burned us. And they had hit, you know, he was the one that was making all the catches.
Are you talking about DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
Yeah, 100%. And Rally, listen, man, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Guys, we saw it, and we know what DeAndre Hopkins did last week. We had the questions about what the backfield was going to look like as far as the secondary goes. And B, we talked about it a lot, and I know, Barrett, you did as well. You guys did as well. We talked about it a lot, and he came up big. We saw some nice things, but for the most part, DeAndre Hopkins had his way.
Well, he did. I mean, you saw the big catch down the middle of the field, basically jumping over two the defenders trying to catch the ball. But having a big-time receiver changes the course of your progression from the quarterback position. You look at Kyler Murray, he's much better this year when you add DeAndre Hopkins around him. That also helps the run game. We understand that. But, I mean, here's another example. Look at Josh Allen up in Buffalo.
Yep.
You add Stephon Diggs, he becomes a Pro Bowler up there, 1,300 yards or something crazy like that, his numbers. And Josh Allen looks totally different. Looks like a different quarterback than he's been in the past. He's gotten better from his own individual perspective. But when you add that type of player around you, your play gets a little bit easier. That, I mean, that's why we always talk about, you know, having a big time receiver on the Eagles, because it's going to help your quarterback position tremendously, and of course help your team.
No question about that. You know, it's like a great equalizer, because now you can't keep that eighth defender in the box to stop the run. You have to make sure you either high-low him or bracket covers him. And that's the dynamics that we miss here in the Eagles, because you can keep that eighth defender in there. And, you know, I'm always a big fan. Let's run the ball. We have to run the ball because, like we said, there have been 13 different offensive line combinations the past 14 games. I mean, that's incredible that, you know, that they've had to have musical chairs like that. Now, we know it's because of injury, but you can't expect the quarterback, you know, you can't expect the quarterback to play well when he's gotten hit 116 times and been sacked 50 times. I'd be gunshot too. I'd be walking around corners peeking also, because this guy's got his head kicked in. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to really say, all right, it's not all Carson's fault. It's not all Doug's fault. But there's enough blame to go around. But we have to understand, we don't have the weapons to really neutralize anybody's defense. They don't worry really about, well, we do, we just don't use them. I really think that we can use Miles Sanders in that capacity. But we need somebody that a defensive coordinator loses sleep over. Like, our defensive coordinator has lost sleep the last three games. He lost sleep because of, like, Hopkins. He lost sleep because of DK Metcalf. He lost. I mean, you have to lose
Devontae
sleep
over Adams.
Those guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Devontae Adams the game before that. They are game changers. When you go up against our offense, it's not as though you have to go out there and really focus on anybody in particular. You know, you just can play great team defense. Well, I think Hurts is starting to bring a little bit of that to the offense. I'm thinking, you know, Dallas is going to lose some sleep over him because his legs can be a definite asset to the running game.
And
now you just can't focus on that.
Barrett, you talk about the offensive line and all the different combinations that they've had. Barrett Brooks, Brian Westbrook here with you on the Mike Missinelli Show. As an offensive lineman, the only constant that they've had has been Jason Kelce. So
right.
As an offensive lineman, a starter and a reserve that you did in your career, your Super Bowl career, winning a championship. What can you take us, as Brian took us into the locker room with the situation with Carson Wentz, you did as well, but can you take us now to the offensive line where you were one, you started, you were a backup, but in a situation like this where you are Jason Kelce and having to deal with all of the change around you, both on the left and the right, and even... you can say three different quarterbacks, because you had the first quarterback, which was Carson Wentz. Then you had the second Carson Wentz who stunk, and now you have Jalen Hurts. So as an offensive lineman, can you help us out with everything that has happened with Jason Kelce and everybody surrounding him?
There's so many factors, you know, that as an offensive lineman, you know, your guy next to you, you have to work in concert with him. You guys have to see things and know how to react. You know, it's not just reading and reacting. I know if I see that linebacker go over, Brandon Brooks is going to look at me and say, yeah, we already know what to do, just like him and Lane Johnson have. But those guys aren't there now. You know, Kelce going up and you see Sam Malo, all right, he's seen this twist up before. So he knows he's going to bang him and switch it off.
Well, that's not, you don't get that with Herbig. Herbig doesn't know to switch it off that way. So sometimes he gets Kelsey's head kicked in because he lets the defensive lineman smash Kelsey, knock him on his butt, and then the whooper goes around. That's a chemistry that you have to have with one another in order to pick these stunts off, or if it's a blitz. If you see this blitz coming, Big B needs to know that Sayamalu's going to be in his hip pocket, because if this guy blitzes off the corner, he's responsible for the end man. Well, if these guys aren't on the same page, he might just let somebody go free because he doesn't know if a guy's coming. Those are all things you get with the chemistry. And then when you have different quarterbacks, you block off different quarterbacks. When you had a guy like Carson wanted to exhaust the play to the bitter end. So you might be blocking for 6 seconds. So the average play in NFL as far as a pass play is 2.5 seconds. At this point, Carson had got sacked 30 times with over 4 seconds. So you're holding the ball even longer. Jeez. So it's a totally different mindset on how you're thinking when you're out there having a seven-step drop, and it's going to be seven steps in forever. It's hard to block for a guy like that because you don't know where he's going to end up, where he's going to squeeze out. But also when you have Hurts there, he can see that one first read and that second read, and bam, he's off running. So it makes it a little easier as an offensive line to block for somebody because you know that he's going to run and take flight. You know, so he's a little more elusive from the defensive lineman. So those are all things this offensive line is going through, and they're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this? What if this happens? They're trying to get it together. And until they get a stable combination, it's going to be hard for this team to have some success. You know, you have to have guys that play with each other because those guys have to be the tightest. All of the linemen always hang with the offensive linemen. They go out together. They have family. Their families are usually together because they're closest-knit guys on the team.
Yeah.
Well, because they have to be.
Great, great breakdown. Listen, guys, one more final break before we sign off for the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get our phone calls in, and we'll get more of this, and we have to step into the Dallas Cowboy game on Sunday as well. Brian Westbrook, Bear Brooks, Devon Givens, right here on the Mike Misinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love those J-I-N-G.
Ah, look at that one. See, we mix it up. Different ones.
Now, this one is Frank Sinatra.
I'm a little disappointed, though. I got to tell you, Brian Westbrook joining us, Barrett Brooks, Devon Givens, Mike Misinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyler Zuli as well. I keep hearing all of these, right, fellas? Keep hearing all these great tunes. Where's Hollis Queens?
All you got to do is ask.
That's right.
Where's Run DMC and Hollis Queens? Yeah. Come on. Hey, we gotta get
that's
Eric Camille.
Top five on the list right there.
Come on. What are they doing? We gotta get Coach on that one. Yeah, we gotta hit him on that one. 610-632-0975. Before we let you go, guys, Barry, you do this every week, Family Game Week. We have here Family Game Day instead of Game Night. We'll pull Brian in this one as well. And we'll ask you a holiday movie or musical tune that's belted out. And me and Barrett, we did this one a couple of weeks ago. And which one did I miss, Barrett? Wasn't it like Thriller or something? I said.
Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't it Thriller? Yeah. It's all good, though. But listen, guys, Dallas Cowboys this weekend. Right now, we understand where they are in the standings, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. The Washington football team has a game up on both the Cowboys and the Giants. The Eagles are sitting at 4-9-1. Washington 6-8 as they get ready for their game. Eagles and Cowboys 4:25 kickoff that has been flexed. Disappointed about that. I like the 1 o'clock. All right.
Me too.
Well, yeah, exactly. What are we looking at here with the Dallas Cowboys with Andy Dalton back under center against the Philadelphia Eagles, and how do they make things happen with Jalen Hurts to walk away with this victory?
Well, you know, the big thing to me goes back to the health of our secondary. How healthy can our secondary be against three receivers that could be elite at different times in the football game. How do you slow down, how do you slow down these guys, Gallup and Cooper and CeeDee Lamb? How do you slow them down? Number one, you get yourself a good pass rush. You win in the trenches right away. Mm-hmm. If you win in the trenches, that's going to eliminate two things. It's going to slow down their running game, number one. It's also going to give Andy Dalton a lot less time to get the ball downfield to these lethal receivers that the Cowboys have. To me, that's the name of the game. How do you slow down those guys? You have to win in the trenches. And when you look on the offensive side of the ball, don't turn the ball over. Let's give Jalen Hurts some opportunity again, winning in the trenches again. Give him some time to get the ball out, because what we've seen in the last couple of games is that when he has time, his eyes, his thought process, he understands the play, where the ball needs to go. He's going to give those receivers on the outside, Alshon Jeffrey, who really hasn't caught too many balls this season, he's going to give them those opportunities. He's going to throw the ball up. He has a good rapport with Jalen Reagor. He's going to give him some opportunities. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, same type of thing. We have to win the trenches, and that's going to be the key to the game. Really, it's the key to the game every single week.
Barrett?
Absolutely right. You know, it's got to be one in the trenches. And I think if you look at what Dallas has on offense, the best way to defense them is to keep Jalen Hurts on the field. We have to convert on third down. Make sure we always stay in third and a little bit instead of being third and impossible. You know, third and manageable is something that, you know, this team for the past 2 weeks have, you know, come along with. And, you know, they're doing that a lot better, which is keeping them on the field more time on the clock. They have to win the time of possession, because if you keep those weapons they have, and they have some legitimate Gallup, you have, you know, Amari Cooper, you know, you have the rookie. I mean, these guys are good. They can catch, right? And you know, Zeke didn't play last week. I know he'd probably be ready to play this week. But Pollard is a really good running back. He's explosive. He's fast.
He's really good. And,
yeah, he looks really good. So I think the biggest thing, we have to keep those guys off the field, control the time of possession, and control the trenches. You know, we have to run the ball. You know, keep them on the field. I think that's the biggest thing, because we don't want to get into a scoring battle with them. I don't think they can hold up against the run. Use what they can't do against them, and that's stop the run. They can't do it. So if we run the rock consistently, keep it a third and manageable, I really think that Hurts could, you know, engineer a win for this team just by staying on the field. And defensively, you know, those guys up front, man, you know, I did not know that they were second in the NFL in pass rush. I did not know they were second. I mean, they have been, you know, really good these past couple weeks. So if we keep pressure like that, then we can mask some of the efficiencies we have in the secondary.
All right, fellas, we have about 60 seconds on the Sixers. Both of you, B. West, you are an executive for the team, unpaid. And
that's right.
113.
Got my first check,
right. That's right. It's still in the mail. You know, mail's been a little backed up lately. 113-107. They get the win last night. What did you see?
It was a good win. A good way. I mean, listen, they were trailing most of that game. You know, they were getting outplayed by a bad, in my opinion, Washington team down there. And so, you know, it was a good comeback win, good spark. I thought we saw some differences in the offense. Obviously, that high pick and roll was a big difference there. You know, there's some things that have to be sharpened up. I mean, only a couple of preseason games, you know that they're coming into the game. There were going to be some things that need to be sharpened up. But I saw a team that has potential. I still have some questions about scoring offensively and how Tobias fits in there. But I think you'll figure those things out as the season goes on. I love what the second unit is doing. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, to me, I love Ben at the point guard, but I can see a situation where he can become a starter, and then you have Ben off the ball or it's something different like that. But I just love what he brings to the game. He certainly gets more people involved, and he can score if you ask him to as well.
Barrett, 29-14 for Embiid last night, a team high 34 minutes and 50 seconds, well over 11 minutes in the game in the fourth quarter last night.
Oh, no question. And that's a necessity. We have to have him out there front and center. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think Coach Rivers, Doc is going to make sure he's accountable for his minutes, and he's going to be accountable for him being in shape. And that's, you know, make him be accountable for that. And I love that. I love at the end of the game that they finished the game, they closed the game, and the people that were supposed to do it were there to do it. Your two major stars. They, you know, closed the game that we're supposed to. A lot of games last year
were not won because they didn't know how to close. Well, they're finishing now, and they need to keep up with this. I also like what Brian said. Our second unit, man, they can score. It's not like it was last year and the year before where they come out and you see a definite lull in the action, a lull in, you know, what they were out there trying to accomplish. These guys come in, they're pretty exciting. You know, Shake Milton, man, he's becoming that dude, man. You know, yeah. He's playing well.
19
he wants to
last
score.
Night.
He gets in the game. He wants to get buckets.
Yeah, but in the fourth quarter, though, what he did was he ran the offense. He didn't score much in the fourth quarter. He played all 12, but he had the rock. Ben was playing a lot off the ball, and it worked out for them last night. Guys, we don't have time to embarrass you with the music or the movies.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah, we do.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I was hoping that we talked enough that this podcast.
You know, though, Devon, we can let them be a team if you want.
All right, they could be a team.
One question for both of them.
Give them a movie.
All right, so here's your movie, guys. I'm going to explain the plot to you. You guys got to tell me what movie it is. All right, so in which movie did an older department store Santa try to teach a young girl to believe in Christmas again?
Oh. Come on, B. You got to pull through for the team, brother.
Barrett has a reinforcements there sometimes with his wife and the kids.
Oh, look, all my kids are out of school now. I don't know what to say.
I don't. What is it? One more time?
The movie is an older department store Santa tries to teach a young girl to believe in Christmas again.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm out on
that. I feel like I've seen this movie, though. That's
I've
the bad
seen it,
part.
But I'm out. I want to say it's like, nah, but it's not even that. Go ahead. What is it?
Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out on that one. We all know it, but no, I don't have that answer. B. West, you and I on Sunday starting at 1 o'clock for the pregame show here on the Fanatic. B. Brooks, you have the pregame show and postgame show on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Do you have Danny Pommel's quick slants tonight?
Yes, we do.
Nice.
We'll be front and center.
6 o'clock right here on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Fellas, you know I love you guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thank you both.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good one now, bro.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. You got it, man. And we will be right back. We'll get to the phone calls. Mike, Josh, Ed, to open phone lines here on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, you ask and you shall receive. Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Run DMC right here on the 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike Missinelli Show. NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli as well. 5'10". NFL Weekly Selection is for Tyler Zuli and I. He has the little black book to tell us how poorly we did a week ago and where our numbers stand as we get ready for, what is this, week 16? Week 16?
Yes, in the NFL. Only 2 more weeks left.
Man.
Well, the good 16. News is, Devon, I will tell you this, without giving away your record, it is impossible for you to finish under 500 this season.
Fantastic. 6 games to go. And I cannot finish under 500. I hope I've helped people out, making some little extra money for the Christmas holiday.
Your record's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad at all. All right, 610-632-0975. Sixers, Eagles on the table. A lot of people that hung on through. We thank Brian Westbrook and Barrett Brooks. Don't forget, Barrett will be up at 6 o'clock for Quick Slants with Danny Pommel's. Always a great watch with those two guys. Got to tell off Danny because I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm a little disappointed in him for not reaching out, and I'm not on Quick Slants with the two guys. But we'll get to that. We'll tell Danny off. Let's go to Mike in Lakewood, who's been hanging on next on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man? Thanks for hanging on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I had a little weight, but it's okay, though. But, yeah, I want to talk about this Ben Simmons deal.
because, like, I can't figure out, like, why do everybody, like, forget who Ben Simmons is? Like, we done went through mad years, like, hoping this guy turned the corner. We already see that he's not going to be LeBron. Like, we don't know who he is. And then if we can get James Harden for him, like, why is everybody like, oh, let's keep this up, let's keep this up? Ben Simmons is a headache every year for us. Like, it's like everybody just forgot who he is, like, all of a sudden. And this is why I can't figure out. Like, if we can get us a dog or, like, somebody who we know we can count on to at least get 40 points any given time, like, why won't we do that? This is why I can't figure out.
Well, first, I don't think it's not a point of why won't they do it. It's what they want to give, what they want in terms of the compensation back Houston for James Harden. We're talking about a top five player, a former MVP, a 8-time All-Star, the whole deal. He's a future Hall of Famer and one of the best scorers in the NBA. But with all of the stuff that's going on, right, you negotiate. And with all of these things that are happening, the fact that he's 31, he has 2 years left on his contract, he is not committed to a long-term extension there, you give up on a 24-year-old that, while he does not put up 40 points, Mike, to your point, he does so many other things very well that he helps you out with these wins that you feel like moving forward, you might be able to keep him around. Especially with the new coaching staff, to see if they can really tap into all of that potential and unlock some of the things that have had us all frustrated over the past couple of seasons. So that, I think that's what it is for me. The other part is, again, what if things get so bad with James Harden and the Houston Rockets that you don't have to give him up?
But even if you don't give him up, we've seen when Jimmy Butler was on the team. And I truthfully...
Different, though. They're different.
But no, but I'll say this. I'll keep Harris over Simmons because Harris was better with the team than Simmons would, because Simmons was just going to corner with nothing to do. It was like, we've seen him with somebody else holding the ball. Like, he's not a good fit.
James Harden, let's play this game. Hypothetically, things get so bad with Houston, they're like, all right, we'll just take anything, and we don't need Ben Simmons because their leverage is not there. First of all, it's probably going to be Harris moved in it because the money has to match. Let's just put that out there. But James Harden is a great passer.
I agree with that.
Ben Simmons will get the rock based on that, with him being a better passer than Jimmy Butler was when he was here. Jimmy Butler's a good passer, good facilitator, initiator of the offense. James Harden is a fantastic passer as well. So I think Ben Simmons would be able to still thrive playing with both Embiid and Harden if that happened, which it won't, but if that happened.
You never know, but I just said, like, if it was between the two, I'm taking Ben Simmons to the airport right now.
I totally disagree with that. No Tobias Harris over Ben Simmons for me. Listen, Mike, you want to play the...
I ain't said Tobias Harris over Simmons, but I think that offense fit better with Tobias here than Simmons. But I'm saying, like, I would take if it was...
Gets a lot of good looks now, Mike. He will get the same good looks with James Harden, and right now he's underwhelming at this point, man. You want to play the game with us?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, Mike, it's time for Name That Tune. So I'm going to play you this song right here.
All right. I don't know that tune. Usually I'm pretty good.
Can you play that one more time? See, I noticed this Christmas. I know the song. I'm trying to put the voice to who that is so I can answer it that way.
And I can't let it go any further because the first thing he says is the name of the song.
What? But see, yeah. This Christmas? Is it this Christmas?
No.
I'm trying to think.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, very first time, something like that. Isn't that how it goes with that line?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
All right, yeah, whatever. All right, Mike, we failed. Okay. We look fantastic together. Yeah, man. Happy holidays to you, man. Thank you.
You got it, man.
Let's go to Josh in Colorado next on 97.5 The Fan and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, Josh?
Hey, happy holidays to you guys.
Same to you. Thank you.
I just like to comment on the Eagles.
And I have a, I think I have a good perspective that's worth taking note of. First off, I think everyone needs to slow down and give the situation a good analytical and organized approach and take a look at some things. Carson Wentz's rookie year. He had a solid year for a rookie. He was 16th in touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he was 18th in yardage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not bad. Then the Super Bowl, then the year after. Now, to win the Super Bowl, you generally have to have both your offense and your defense in the top five in the league. The Eagles had the third highest offense in points scored, and they had the fourth best defense in the number of points allowed. Now, you can have one or the other. Well, no, actually, it's better to have a defense in the top five in league standings and have a weaker offense. The Broncos proved that their last Super Bowl. But all of a sudden, we go to 2018. The Eagles are 18th in offense and then 12th in defense. 2019, 12th in offense, 15th in defense, and right now, 25th in offense and 22nd in defense. You know, since 2018 until now, do you know how many games the Eagles have lost by a touchdown or less? And this just doesn't include just a touchdown, but also games like 3 points or less, 4 points or less. Do you know how many games?
No, I don't. Off the top of my head,
they've lost 15.
Not good. Not good at all. Yeah.
Now, in your opinion, now there's been heartache the last 3 years with these losses. In the majority of those situations, was it the defense that gave it up? Was it Wentz and a last-minute interception? Whose fault is it, really?
In terms of those games that you're speaking of, those 15?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we would have to go back and look at the performances and talk about that. We've seen where the defense has played that more prevent style from time to time, and it would be frustrating. We've also seen where they have come through. We've seen Carson Wentz also come through in the clutch as well, down the stretch, two minute drive to put themselves in a position to win. So I would have to go back, Josh, and look at each individual game to really give you a better answer.
Well, I didn't expect you to know that off the top of your head, but a pattern has to be established. Now, if we're going to decide between Wentz and Hurts, okay, well, Eagles as an organization first have to understand they're going to have to establish division dominance when it comes to a quarterback, because Washington is in a very positive transition. So are the Giants. Cowboys are a spilt bag of melted butter. So they
well, they might be different though when they get Dak Prescott back.
And they
might be.
And the Eagles also need to realize that as far as league dominance, now is the time to get to make it happen. The sunset on these quarterbacks we've had over the years is approaching.
All right.
Now is the time. Now, does that mean Jalen Hurts is going to be the next Mahomes? No. Based on stats, Mahomes played 3 years and threw about 12,000 yards at Texas Tech. All right.
Yeah, he was fantastic. No question about it.
But is Hurts possibly the next? You know what? People shouldn't worry about it. What the Eagles need to decide. Can they continue to get by on 9-7 and 9-7, squeak by with a division title, or get in with okay? Is Wentz that type of quarterback? He's not a top 10. I just looked at his stats.
No, he's not top 10. That's why he's been replaced, and that's why we've talked about him needing to step things up with the contract kicking in next season. They rewarded him as that guy to be the franchise player, and things started to go in the other direction, whether it be injuries, confidence, whatever it is, coaching. He has gone in the other direction. So 9-7, you cannot rely on that, Josh, in any given season as they continue to go on and try to get back to that dominance in the NFC East that you're talking about. Listen, man,
want to
participate?
All right, you having me on.
All right, you got it, man. Thank you.
Y'all have a good one. Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas. All right, easy one right there. You want to do the quick fix? Let's do the quick fix here. Ed, Scott, Nate, Gerald, hang on 1 second because we do have to get our NFL weekly picks, and Tyler has the little black book to let us know what we did last week in week number 15.
Well, Devon, not a great week for us.
All right.
Wasn't terrible, but not great.
It's all right.
Week 15, you ended up going 1-2.
1-2.
Because we each got the Buffalo Bills correct after I think it was a 48-19 victory over the Broncos. That was easy.
Yeah.
We actually both got the Minnesota Vikings incorrect because that team, I guess, forgot to show up. And they were a 3-point favorite. You had them at 2.5. I had them at 3. And they didn't cover either way because they lost the game outright. And then your second loss came because you took the 17.5-point favorite LA Rams to cover against the New York Jets.
And the Jets picked up their first win of the season. And the Rams and Jared Goff showed who they really are.
No, and I had I was just a half a game better because I took the Green Bay Packers -8 over the Carolina Panthers. They won that game by 8.
Oh, cool.
So I got a push. So
there
I finished 1-1-1.
There you go. All right. What's our season record?
So after 15 weeks, Devon, you are 25, 18-2.
Mm-hmm.
So really solid from you still. And again, the worst you could be now is 25-24.
Yeah.
So you've picked up an over 500 record. Me, not so great. Mm-hmm. 21-23-2.
21-23-2. All right, let's do it, man. Let's start off week number 16, weekly NFL picks. You're up first.
All right, so I'm actually going to start with the game tomorrow because we both picked a team last week that I think forgot to show up. And when they didn't show up, that pretty much put an end to their playoff hopes now. And that, of course, was the Minnesota Vikings. The New Orleans Saints, with Drew Brees back, didn't look tremendous last week. But I think that they are more than capable of covering a touchdown spread with an opportunity to go get a little bit closer to clinching at least the 2 seed and trying to surpass the Green Bay Packers for the 1 seed. Saints are going to need a little bit of help, so they're going to have to do everything they can to put a beating down on the Minnesota Vikings. I'll take the Saints -7.
All right, good call by you, trusting Dalvin Cook to go out there and get some work done. Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, seeing how they do against that Saints offense and defense. Of course, I will go to Saturday, my man. And when I go there, I'm going to Detroit. I'm going with the big number again. Somehow, some way, they have to get on track, I think. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they're so Jekyll and Hyde. 1 week, they'll light them up for 30-plus. And the defense that we talked about being so good early on, the offense was getting all the praise with Tom Brady. The defense was one doing things to help get the wins. Now they've given up points. But in this one, against Matt Stafford and company, they are able to put up points. But I think Tampa, enough on the road, can cover this one. 9.5 on the road against the Detroit Lions. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Bucks to cover that one on Saturday, 1 o'clock kickoff.
You know I love when you give me multiple score lines. So I think I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because I can't figure out the Detroit Lions. I can't figure out the Bucks either.
Right.
But the Lions to an even greater extent because their record's not very good. But I don't know if their record is indicative of the team they've been since Matt Patricia was fired.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. And once again, Tampa Bay in the standings right now, they're 6th at 9-5 behind the Saints. They still have a chance. So they might want to make a statement. College football style. Light up the scoreboard.
There you go.
Yeah, why not?
Drop a 50.
Yeah, I do want to see DeAndre Swift score, though. Local product. We always root for the local guys. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to pick a team that I'm now going to pick for the third time in 4 weeks. So far, they are 1-0-1 for me. And, of course, that kind of kills my segue, but it shows you that I am, for the third time in 4 weeks, going to take the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. -3.5 this week. Green Bay, they have covered for me at -9 and pushed at -8 two of the last 3 weeks. As much as I talked about New Orleans having an opportunity to get a little bit closer to Green Bay, Green Bay is going to do everything that it can within its own power to control its own destiny and be the 1 seed and get that now even more coveted bye because there's only one in each conference. And I think that Green Bay has a better opportunity to do so despite the fact that they're playing a better opponent than the New Orleans Saints are. Tennessee is really good. And if you were to say to me, who is one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL coming into 2020, my answer wouldn't be Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. But he's been tremendous this season, and it's two of the three best offenses in the NFL. I'm going to take Green Bay in this one, -3.5.
All right, I like it. Green Bay, Devontae Adams probably goes off in this game against Tennessee.
He goes off in every game. It doesn't matter.
He does. He just scores every single week. I'm going to 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'm going to Pittsburgh. Huh? I'm going to Pittsburgh. This has been good for me over the last couple of weeks. But guess what, Tyler? As a 2.5-point dog, at home to the Indianapolis Colts, to Frank Reich's, the Jim Irsay's that we were told they were. A dog at home against the dome team of the Indianapolis Colts on the road with Phillip Rivers, as good as they have been. And the point of Tennessee now being in front, they have to keep pace with the Tennessee Titans right now, because the Colts are sixth, Titans, they're tied right now, both of them. I think they both lose. And I think the Indianapolis Colts, it's ridiculous that they are 2-point favorite at home against the Steelers. I understand the woes of the Steelers losing, what, the last three the Steelers have lost? Is it the last three that they've lost? I believe it is. Yeah, they're 11-3. They were undefeated. So I'm going with Pittsburgh to get back on track, pick up a win, and cover that two at home against the Indianapolis Colts. It's disrespectful.
Well, you know that through our last 15 weeks, if there's one team that I've not been able to pinpoint this entire year, it's the Indianapolis Colts. And that's really strange to say for a team that has as good of a record as they do. I can't figure them out.
I've stayed away from them.
I can't figure them out.
But in this particular case, I'm going the other side.
But I think that one of two things are going to happen. Either the Colts are going to prove that they are a significantly better team than the Steelers.
I agree.
Or the Steelers get back on track. So I think one of two things happens. The Colts win this game big, or the Steelers win outright.
You're right. Absolutely.
I'm going to go to a 4:05 game coming up on Sunday. And this one has divisional implications, despite the fact that, honestly,
I like it.
I don't know who's going to play quarterback.
I like it.
I don't.
I like it.
But
they're still a favorite.
But hold on now. I think we're talking about two different games.
I was going with the Washington football
team. Okay. All right. We are talking about the same game.
They're favorite.
I don't know who's going to play quarterback, but you give me a point.
It's a pick'em,
you give me a half a point. You give me a pick'em. You know, I don't really like Carolina. I've really respected how they fought all year, despite the fact that they're 4-10, because I thought that they might be a two-win team all season. So the fact that they've doubled me up already, I respect what they've done. But Washington has an opportunity to put an even tighter grip on the NFC East. And whether it's Dwayne Haskins or it's Alex Smith or it's who else started for them this year?
Kyle Allen.
I think that Washington is a better football team than Carolina is at this moment, and probably throughout the entirety of the season. This game, just because of its divisional implications, they have to win this game.
Yes.
And with it being a point or a half a point or a pick 'em, I'm going to take Washington in this one, regardless of which one it is.
All right, yeah, I like it. Ron Rivera against his former team. Let's see what Matt Rhule can do against that football team. We'll wind this one down with me going out to Seattle. Seattle has a one-game lead on the Los Angeles Rams, who, to your point, dropped the ball against the New York Jets. While I think they will be better in this game, trailing the Seahawks by one in the standings in the NFC West, I am going with the Seattle Seahawks to try to put a hold on their division with two games remaining by beating down the Los Angeles Rams in this particular game. They are a one-point favorite at home only. A one-point favorite at home only, and I pick the Seattle Seahawks at the Rams a few weeks ago. They lost 23-16. Time to bounce back. You have to have at least a tie in their division in terms of head-to-head matchup. You want to make sure you do that. I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks at home minus one over the Los Angeles Rams. So those are our weekly NFL picks here. Tyler Zuli.
I think for the second consecutive pick for you, based on the Pittsburgh-Indianapolis game and this one as well, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to get that staple Seattle win over a team that's right there with them in the division.
Yep.
And you're going to go, well, does that say Seattle 40, LA 17? Or this is going to be one of those games where I would imagine being a Seattle Seahawks fan is infuriating because they let the Rams hang around. Russ doesn't play his best game.
Right.
It's like 17-13 heading into the fourth quarter.
Does fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic job against DK Metcalf. And like he did in that game, they lost 23-16. So, yeah.
You know, it's probably why my record is indicative of what it is. It's another team I can't figure out.
Can't figure
it
out.
Maybe that's why I'm two games under 500 this year, because I can't figure anybody out, apparently.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, hang on. We come right back. We run your phone calls with the two Eds. Ike, Nate, Scott, Gerald, G in L.A. We'll get to you when we get back. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. In for Mike, I'm Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, 97.5 The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Nice touch right there. Oh, nice touch right there. Was that a request from someone?
Yeah, we got this one on Twitter. So
got that one?
Much like you asked for Christmas in Hollis, we got this one on Twitter. There you go.
All right. Nicely done. Who was that? Jasper?
Yes.
Jasper gave us that one. All right, Jay Grilock on Twitter. There you go. Nice little Donny Hathaway this Christmas. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Let's try to get in a few of these phone calls because we've been rolling all day. Merry Christmas to you all. Once again, hope everyone is safe. The stores are close to closing down. Don't they normally shut down around 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, something like that.
So you would have to think that a lot of people, no pushing and shoving, not like the movie. What was that movie again?
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way?
Yeah.
Yeah, no knocking anyone over.
Just saying, no fighting in the play area ball pit?
Nah. No need. Yeah, just pass it to, here you go. Got another one. Go to the back and get one. It's all good. All good.
Although you might see that fight from grown adults because there's no PS5s going around.
Yeah, but I haven't even seen any on social media or anything.
I don't think there's many in
store. No, I mean in terms of any of the, you know, the fighting and all of that stuff. With the gifts, I haven't seen.
That's good.
Have you seen any?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't seen it. It's good. It's been good. We're all uniting because it's 2020. We're almost over. We're almost getting this thing over with. All right, let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Ed in South Philly here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, Ed?
What's up, Devon? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. You know, I think it's an exciting time to be an Eagles fan. I know, mic drop. But when we look at things, right?
Okay.
A second round pick, we got a guy who went to multiple national championships and was a bona fide winner, even throughout high school and college at a big time program. He reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson. He's winning us games. Even though he lost last week, he kept us in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a guy that's going to be, what, $6 million over the next 4 years? My question to you is, I know Howie Roseman, fireable offenses the past 2 years, what he's done in the draft. And you're running a billion-dollar organization, Jeff Lurie. You got to make tough decisions on people who don't make good ones, right? You can't have them operating this franchise if you can't make the correct decisions. It's any business, the profit business. But back to the story. What do you see? Where do we go forward? We have Jalen Hurts, $6 million, right, for the next 4 years. Unfortunately, we have Carson Wentz. Where do you go? I see an aging roster that needs to be rebuilt behind a young quarterback. Is that what you do? Do you look to possibly, you know, liquidate and monetize assets and build through the draft? What do you think Howie's thinking right
now? I think that he feels good about right now looking good with the second round pick. Of all the other things that he did wrong. And including this one still, this does not justify the pick for me. It has worked out. Again, the player was never the problem. The player at that spot was the problem for me, for Tyler Zuli, many others that are here at the Fanatic. And I think that Howie will now try to, as best as possible, even though the hit will be large on the cap, move Carson Wentz. Because this is a tough thing to come back from, whether Ryan Clark, who wants to call him soft, or any of these other people that want to call them names. B. West was just talking about it, you know, how the locker room is, how players view this stuff when it's going on with a few games left and an opportunity to still make the postseason. Wait for that stuff to end and then go into your personal business and all. I think that they will try, Ed, to move on from Carson, because this situation may not be something that they can come back from. So I think that's what they do. I think they try to move on from that, get rid of this one quickly, get ahead of it. 1 year, take the hit. Jalen Hurts, your quarterback for the next 2 years, right? Because the following season, then you can start to spend some money and bring some people in here to go along with them, plus the draft picks for this year, and not necessarily looking at what will happen in 2022 with the draft picks. So I think that's what they'll do.
Right. Partly my concern is, right, you always want that young quarterback coming into a stable type franchise, which is difficult, right? If you're picking the top five, it means you probably aren't very good as a team. Mm-hmm. But when we start to look at Jalen Hurts, when he really starts to get rolling 2-3 years from now, if he does, still on that rookie contract, you want to be able to start bringing in veterans, right, that are, you can plug and play and maybe have to pay a premium in free agency, but you can do that given the fact you have a cheap quarterback. My concern is that we're going to hold on to these guys because Howie's emotionally tied, emotionally tied to these guys after winning a Super Bowl. We're going to hold on to them. And by the time Hurts, maybe he comes around, he's actually legit, and we give him that Carson Wentz Godfather extension, right? Now we have to turn over all the veterans on the roster, because if you look, our top five defensive players are on the wrong side of 30. You look at our O-line, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, they're on the wrong side of 30, and they have injury history. So I'm concerned we hold on to these guys a little too long, and we don't get to capitalize in that, you know, that window that Russell Wilson had, right, when he took the Hawks to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that's where I see, you know, if Jeffrey Lurie wants to run a billion-dollar organization, right, and actually wants to make tough decisions, I couldn't imagine working at a, you know, multinational corporation and you not being good at your job, but you keeping it, and get –
You get demoted, you brought back, you do something great by winning, and then you start to go in the other direction again, and it seems as if he'll still be there, so it doesn't really matter. Listen, Ed, you're right, man. Listen, we have to keep things moving. You ready to play the game with us?
Let's do it.
All right, Ed, callers have a 5-1 lead over Devon right now, so you got an opportunity to make it even larger. Here's your question. It's movie plot. I'll give you the plot. You give us the name of the movie. Here is the plot. In this movie, a television CEO struggles with his own ghost as he tries to produce a Christmas carol.
Say it again.
A television CEO.
Yeah, one more time.
A television CEO struggles with his own ghosts as he tries to produce a Christmas carol.
I know this one too, but I can't remember the name. Go ahead, Ed.
I'm gonna go. What is Elf?
I can't remember the name.
You know who's in it, Devon?
No, I can see it.
Bill Murray.
Yes.
Movie is called Scrooge.
Yeah. Whatever. Hey Ed, thanks man. Merry Christmas to you.
Cool. Thanks guys.
Man, 5-1. By the way, 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Got a Window and Door. Take advantage of Guided Door and Windows' big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com.
That's my favorite response from you.
See how I did that? Whatever. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Gerald in Los Angeles. What's up, G? On the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, man?
How you doing, man? Like, first, I want to just take a minute, man. I want to thank you, Tyler, the whole crew there. You know, being in L.A., you guys are part of my camaraderie for Philly sports. It's great to hear you in the big chair tonight, and I just wanted to thank you for, especially this year in a really trying year, being out there for all the listeners and putting out a great show and keeping hoops, you know, front and foremost and keeping it real on the conversation. So
well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. You know, I always say
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that.
Same to you.
And all the guys.
Yep. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, listen, man, let me ask you a question about, kind of a statement question about the Sixers. So, you're a hoopshead, so I think you'll understand it. Tobias Harris. He has this weird tendency where when he goes around, somebody sets a pick for him, he goes around the pick. That pick can clip his man, and it's like Tobias almost slows down after he goes by the pick and waits for the man or the switcher to get back on his hip. Now, like, not right in front of him, but like it's like he likes to feel the guy there. When there's plenty of times he can go around the pick and be wide open and have space to either shoot or create, but it's like he slows down
Like he wants the guy, like he likes to have him on his back shoulder or something.
Yeah,
have
so
you, have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's a common thing in basketball now, and it works a lot of times. It works very often. Great players do it. Someone like Tobias Harris can do it. But it's how you react to it, how you respond to it. And, yeah, you want to get guys on your hip. You probe it a little bit to see exactly where they go. Make them get you on your hip. You can oftentimes stop on the dime right there, pull up. They're bumping into you. You get an easy two free throws right there. So, but what he doesn't do, and to your point, is he doesn't – it's like he's not feeling it. He's not recognizing it quickly enough, which Doc Rivers talked about last night. Where those things are to his advantage. So I get it. I know it. We've been picking on him a lot today. And, you know, that's what his game provided us. Now, let's see what he does on Saturday. Saturday and I think Sunday when they have Cleveland. Is it back-to-back New York and Cleveland? But definitely New York on Saturday. Let's see what he does this weekend. But I understand your point.
But here's the thing, man. I mean, like, I they shot terrible in that game, even with Tobias. You know, it's early. This is a whole new system, whole new team, whole new coach, new pieces. You know, I don't expect them to shoot as bad as they shot the other night on a regular basis.
It wasn't so really bad. It was 47%. There were just individual players that you wanted to see more from. Basically, Danny Green and Tobias Harris, where they combined 4 of 19 from the floor, 0 of 8 from behind a 3-point line.
Yeah. So I just think I'm willing to be patient because there's going to be some. You know, there's going to be some growth. There's going to be some, and like I said, this is all new. Everything's new. Several pieces, the coach, the system. Now, I got one more question for you on the Sixers.
All right.
I heard this report that last year Ben Simmons did a lot of his work outside of the team. Now, I'm looking for some clarity on it. Was that his rehab when he got hurt, or while he was still playing with the team, he was kind of checking in for shoot-arounds, but kind of doing most of his stuff on his own?
I'll answer that one after we give you a game here, because I do have an answer for it, but let's give you a game first before we are pressed for time. So we can't give you a movie because you are an actor, and you will get it right. So
so we've got to give him a song.
Can I tell you real quick about a movie you said, Scrooge? We actually kind of did like not a remake of Scrooge, but we did a movie called Second Chance for Christmas. It's on Hulu and a bunch of other places. That is like a female kind of version of Scrooge.
All right.
So check that out if you get a chance.
And then when all this is over, G is going to put me in a movie. We have already put that in the contract, right?
But here's the problem, man. What was the movie that you were supposed to watch that you haven't watched? But if you don't watch that movie, I'm not putting you in any movie.
All right, what's the movie? I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember. We were talking about it like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. Well, you reach out, send it to me again. I'll watch it, and we'll figure out the contract because I want my SAG card.
Okay.
That's it. That's his bottom line. I need my SAG card.
if you're on the TV for the NBC Sports, maybe you'll get it that way.
Oh, well, you know, I hear you, but I'll do NBC Sports and a feature film. I'm good. All right. Let's go, Ty.
All right. Here's your callers up. What is it? 5-1 now?
5-1. It hasn't changed. Yeah,
Gerald. Caller's up 5-1, so here's your opportunity to make it even larger. You're going to have to name that tune.
Okay.
Okay. Booney probably has this and is laughing at us. All right, G, you're up.
Oh, man. I don't know, and it's a shame because I knew that other one was George Michael. I don't know who this one is.
Yeah, neither do I. So guess what? Merry Christmas. All right, man, I'll answer your question on the other side, too. Tyler, what was it?
That's Elton John.
All right,
Stepping to Christmas.
Cool, Elton John. Was it Elton John in the movie that I saw, The Kingsman? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But final segment on the other side.
As you say, whatever.
Whatever. Jake, Ike, Nate, Scott, and everybody will get to you on the other side. We'll close down the show with you on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
5, The Fanatic.
Oh, beautiful. Nice. Look at that. This is famous for Home Alone. You haven't mentioned Home Alone yet, so just take that one off the board.
There's a reason we've not done that yet.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
You know, here's the thing, Devon. When you allow me to pick the games, you also allow me to pick the questions.
Very true.
And you know how I feel about that movie.
I do. For those who don't know, Mike Missanelli Show, Devon Givens, with you, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyler Zuli, and for Tyrone Johnson. Tyler Zuli thinks that Home Alone is overrated.
I do.
So there's that.
It's true.
There is that. All right. Let's do the final Twitter poll results, Ty, on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do we have here?
Yeah, so the question was, which Eagles question do we have the most definitive answer heading into 2021? 562 votes on this. General manager ends up holding the lead and winning this one in just about 35% of the vote. And then 24% for the quarterback situation, 21% for each of the head coach and the defensive coordinator.
All right, we thank everybody for checking in on our Twitter poll. It's sponsored by the poll. Final poll numbers brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Winter is here, and Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snowblowers, chainsaws, and generators all season long. Stop by their Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, we're going to run these phone calls. By the way, I didn't mention this because it wasn't in my picks. I have to tell you my favorite game on Saturday, that even though we talked about the Saturday games, Vegas and Miami. Huh? 9-5?
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. 7-7? Yeah, that's a good game. That's a really good game. Miami turned everything around. It's funny because my uncle is a Dolphins fan. He's been waiting for this. My Uncle Tony, he's waiting for this for it to turn around finally, and they have turned it around. And they're still trying to sneak in, though, with the playoffs, because I'm looking at their playoff standings, Miami, and he'll be devastated, of course, if they don't sneak in there. Miami is currently 7th, but Baltimore, 9-5 right there. If I had to put it, I would still lean Baltimore.
Oh, I'd absolutely lean the Ravens.
Yeah, and the Raiders are 7-7.
And I think Baltimore's been extremely flawed this entire season.
Mm-hmm. And we love them going in. They've disappointed, but they're still in the mix.
Yeah, I had them.
They'll be dangerous, though.
I think I had them going to the Super Bowl.
They'll be dangerous. They will be dangerous for sure. So, once again, Vegas and Miami. Let's see. I'll have to talk to Uncle Tone later to see how he feels about that. We'll figure it out.
Speaking of that division, is it a stretch to say at this point that Cleveland could win the division?
They're
only a game back.
They're only a game back. No. But I do have Pittsburgh taking this one this weekend. Yeah, Cleveland has the Jets, so they should win.
They should be 11-4.
The Jets should be ashamed of themselves for winning that game, by the way.
Can't even lose right.
Can't even lose right. Let's go to the phones. Let's run these here. Let's go to Ed in Wilmington on The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, Ed?
Devon, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Happy holidays.
Happy Merry Christmas to you and Tyler and the whole crew there. I think you guys do a great job. I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
The pregame Eagles show, especially if it's a 1 o'clock game. I'm usually out running errands, and you guys are great.
Thank you.
You between Derek and Brian is perfect.
I appreciate it. I'll let the fellas know, and the check is in the mail with the gift. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Hey, listen, Eagles, I actually like their chances against Dallas.
As do I.
Dysfunctional. Yeah, I don't see any reason why we can't beat them. And it's all about our front four, because we know the back end can't cover anybody, and they're all banged up. So I kind of like the front four getting after their quarterback, who's as stationary as a statue. And but as far as... And then after that, it's going to be a question mark on the NFC. But the AFC is more interesting to me. I think Buffalo is the team that I really am intrigued by. I love that team.
and they lost last year in the playoffs in the wild card round against the Houston Texans. First half, they were tremendous. Second half, Josh Allen forgot how to play football. So a lot that he needs to do in that game to redeem himself from that. But they've been great so far. They are the number two seed in the AFC right now.
Don't you think Josh is just getting better and better every year?
He is. But since we saw a lot of this, a glimpse of it last season, I want to see it in the playoffs as well. And since we're pressed for time, man, let's run a question for you right away. You ready?
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right, Ed, here's another movie, a plot of a movie. This one is another one that is questionable if it's a Christmas movie or not, but we'll run it and we'll see what you guys feel. This movie has a well-meaning pumpkin king of Halloween Town discovering people weren't as happy with their Halloween-style gifts on Christmas.
I have no idea.
Do it again.
The well-meaning pumpkin king of Halloween Town discovers that people weren't as happy with their Halloween-styled gifts on Christmas.
Whatever.
The Nightmare Before Christmas, or Tim Burton, or maybe.
Oh, all right. Look at that. See, Ed?
There you go.
Hey, final seconds. Merry Christmas to you, man. Thanks for the kind words.
Merry Christmas
to you.
We
appreciate it, man. That's 6-1. No worries. By the way,
it's 6-1, you versus the callers. If we include our fantastic producer, it's about 37-6-1.
Yeah, Booney doesn't count.
Yeah, you guys are getting...
He's a cheat code. It doesn't count. Quickly, the whole thing about Ben Simmons working out. Yes, he worked out here, but Chris, his trainer would come here and do a lot of stuff here individually with him. So that's how it goes. Not that Ben Simmons was leaving, going elsewhere, but he would come here. So that's how that would work. I wanted to follow up on that one. Let's go to Scott next on the cell. Try to get as many as possible. What's up, Scott?
Hello, Devon and Tyler. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, man.
Both of you have a great holiday.
Same.
Anyways, onto my Eagles point. Now I still think that they're going to stick with Wentz, at least to begin with, because if you trade him as a $34 million cap hit, and we're already going to need a massive quagmire of a cap situation before the next season starts. And if Dalen doesn't play great during these last two games, then you might have a question.
Now, but the one thing, Scott, and listen, man, happy holidays to you. Really appreciate the phone call. My thing with this one is that they might have to just take the hit, and maybe they look at it if they believe they're not going to be good enough next season. Well, we have a lot of people to thank, starting with Tyler Zulli. Great work, man. Really appreciate it. Dylan McKinnon, Brian Westbrook, Barrett Brooks, Booney. Stop cheating. Cheat code. Answering all the questions. Great work from everybody. Nate, Ike, Jake, so sorry we couldn't get to you. Really apologize. Coming up next on the TV side, we have Quick Slants with Barrett Brooks and Danny Pommels on the radio side, Cuz's Corner. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great one. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you on Sunday right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.